The movies are back, baby, and if you're looking for a weekly podcast to keep up with all the new releases and all the hottest news and rumors coming out of Hollywood, check out Movies, Baby, with five Y's. Is Emma Stone on track for greatest actress of all time?
What's the best Godzilla movie of all time?
What's up with John Cena?
Love Lies Bleeding? We'll take more where that came from.
What movie should have won Best Picture at this year's Oscars?
Hint. The name of 2 months, and they ain't close together.
Those are just some of the topics we've discussed on recent episodes of Movies, Baby. Every week on Movies, Baby, Forever Dog co-founders and lifelong movie fanatics Brett and Joe break down the hottest movie news, review the latest releases, shout out forgotten classics, and prophesy the future of Hollywood. You can listen to Movies, Baby, wherever you get podcasts, and you can watch Movies, Baby live every Thursday night on YouTube at Movies, Baby with five Y's. Movies, Baby!
Oh, my goodness. Are we on the air? Mike, how's it sound? We're doing it? What's up, my friends? Welcome back to the best show. Here, on another Tuesday night, we're bringing you yet another fantastic episode of The Best Show. We've got quite an exciting program for you tonight. Dave Hill is in the studio. He is the comedian and broadcaster and rocker. And last night I was on his show over on WFMU, and he's on my show tonight. It's the Best of Both Worlds back-to-back extravaganza. And the hashtag for tonight's show is Best of Both Worlds. So if you want to participate in that on social media, that's where you do it. And we've got surprises lined up and all sorts of stuff. It's going to be so much fun. You get ready. You sit back. You relax. Maybe make yourself a sundae, right? Banana split. Hot fudge. Whipped cream. Wet walnuts. And then you just eat it and you dole it out over 3 hours. And at the end you drop your spoon into that empty thing with a clink. And then you know you did it, and we did it, and that's the magic of The Best Show, my friends. So if you know what's right for you, start making that sundae now. I always wanted to win one of those sundae eating contests. They used to have that place on Route 18. They had the thing called the Big Pig Award. What a goal as a child. Want to win the Big Pig Award. Never did it. Someday I'll win that Big Pig Award. What do you probably get, a ribbon? Can you imagine? Yeah, I just ate 38,000 calories worth of ice cream. A month's worth of sugar. And what do you get, a ribbon? What if you fall one bite short? These are the questions that will forever remain unanswered because that ice cream place went out of business. Maybe they're giving too many Big Pig Awards out. This is what we're going to do. Me and Mike are going to go into one of these places, but we're going to dress in the way the kids do when they're in a trench coat. We'll go in as a 12-foot person, right? And I'll say, look, I have a second stomach and a second mouth in my stomach. I'm like the dude from Total Recall. And yeah, because of course my head's sticking at the top, not Mike's. Think I want that guy repping me as we're going into the thing? Ends up at some adult bookstore. 12-foot guy in the adult bookstore. Trying to bend over to get in a booth. A weird porno booth. Thanks, but no thanks. That's what I say. Thanks, but no thanks. It ain't happening, Mike. But, Mike, you know what is happening? Howl! That's right, howl.fm is happening. Let me tell you about howl.fm. It is a brand new app and website that changes the way you think about podcasts. Like Netflix, but for podcasts. And with Howl Premium, you get exclusive access to dozens of miniseries, audio documentaries, and comedy albums. All sorts of stuff. The Complete Woman, Something Cool, two awesome shows. You get all that stuff on your iPhone, Android, or on the web for $4.99 a month. Use promo code TOM to get your full month of free trial. To redeem that, you go to make sure you create your account on the web at howl.fm. Enter code TOM at checkout. Howl.fm, HOWL.FM, and use promo code TOM for 1 month of free trial for Howl Premium. Howl! It's where it all goes down, man. That's not their slogan. That's my slogan for them. Get ready for an exciting episode of The Best Show. Coming up shortly, Mr. Dave Hill. But now, I give you The Best Show theme. Oh my goodness. It's gone. It's gone. The theme is gone. What if it's gone forever? What if it gets erased? Like the way those aliens were trying to, and Pixels were trying to erase Earth. That's right, I watched Pixels. It's a good flick. Best Show.
Show back again. Another Tuesday night installment. My name's Tom Sharpling. I'm here bringing you the rock. That was Hound from their new album, Out of Space. That's called Emotional Collapse. That's some heavy stuff, man. On SRA Records. Hound! I want to tell you also, the good guys are going to be appearing at the water park. Sarsaparilla and Singing Gorilla will be there.
I can't believe this guy. Dudio. Sarsaparilla the Singing Gorilla. thing he's not mentioning? Because to catch everybody up, I got this group of fellas out there working on the show. We got AP Mike, obviously. The ringer. The anchor. He's holding it down. And we know about his uniqueness, for lack of a better term. His is well documented. Then we got Dudio, who surprises me every week with a new revelation. And a couple weeks ago, he dropped these air checks from radio he did. And he was mentioned on the thing, he was hyping some gorilla, sarsaparilla. It was him in Atlanta? He was doing it radio in Atlanta, and he was hyping some show which featured sarsaparilla, the singing gorilla. And I'm just like, where'd this come from? But you know what the kicker is? It's not either of those guys. It's the quiet one. Pat Byrne. The schemer, I call him now, right? Because this dude, if this was like the A-Team, he'd be like that giggle man. What was he called? If we're the A-Team and I'm George Peppard, right? If I'm George Peppard, you three sort the rest of who you are out. I'm going to say Pat is Giggle Man. Was that the guy's name? Giggle Man? Do you guys know? Before Hound, we heard Os Mutants. Amazing band out of Australia. New single by them. On Hozak, that's right. One of the best labels going. Name of that song was Mates Rates. Can't beat Hozak. Tom, why do you play so many things on Hozak? Well, simple. Because they keep putting out perfect records. And then when they stop, I will stop. Until that day, the Hozak keeps rocking here on The Best Show. Murdoch was what? Who was Face? Which one was Face? He's the smooth one. So that, look, that one, one of you is going to have to claim that. I can't appoint that. That's up for you guys to figure out. Who do you think? So there's the smooth one, the crazy one, and Mr. T. So Pat is the crazy one who looks normal, but is like, oh, it was always like pulling a thing, right? Is that it? So then we got, who do we got also? We got, who else? So if that's, maybe Mike is Mr. T, right? What was his name in the thing again? B.A. Baracus. And for Mike, it would be B-A-Y-O-N-N-E Baracus. So that would be Mike. Dudio would be Murdoch, and Pat would be the Face, because he's always... Pat, can you come in here for a second? Would you mind telling... There's a story I've wanted to tell on the air for a long time of yours, which I've always admired. I'm telling you, this guy's like a Mentos commercial brought to life. You're like a walking Mentos commercial. The way those Mentos guys would calm their way into things, right?
Right.
You went to a concert. I've always thought this was one of the craziest things. It was Bob Dylan, mm-hmm. and Wilco.
Yes.
And who else?
Well, I was immediately punished after sneaking in because I had to deal with... who was the band? Mike, who was the band? Oh, yeah, My Morning Jacket.
My Morning Jacket.
Yeah, that was okay. Rough.
Didn't like it.
No.
Okay.
Beck was at the day before. I would have liked to have seen him.
Okay.
Yeah, the Americana Music Festival. This is summer 2014, I believe. And it was in Hoboken.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you're seeing that show, and you're like, hold on a minute. How much were tickets?
Oh, tickets were like, I think like $90 or $100.
Yeah. For a festival show, basically.
Yeah, for really just one guy I wanted to see.
Yeah. So you're like, I got to get into that thing.
Mm-hmm.
And how did you do it?
I've had success at that point in doing it a couple times, and that was to...
First, are you proud of this? Because yeah. I would be if I was you.
I'm definitely proud of it because yeah. of the extent that I took it that day.
Sure. Yeah.
So I had this theory where if I just dressed like a crew person, like in all black, I had a black pants, black shoes, and like a black polo, basically. Mm-hmm. And I had worked in production off and on. I still do. So I just had, you know, lanyards of various things and like a utility pouch that I also wore on my belt.
Mm-hmm.
And there was nothing in it. There was maybe a pair of gloves.
A utility
in it.
Pouch.
Yeah. And so I wore also a black baseball hat.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had all this going for me.
Yeah.
I just walked in. And I, you know, I wanted to walk in holding like a case, like a road case or something, but I didn't want to lose out on like a guitar case or something yeah. that I could actually mm-hmm. use that's, you know, equivalent to the price yeah. of that ticket.
Sure, because it's a swap.
Yeah.
And you might lose still.
Exactly.
But so, you went in, you wore black hat.
Mm-hmm. Black polo.
Black polo.
Black pants.
Black pants.
And then I'm riding my bike from Jersey City to Hoboken, mm-hmm. and I'm like, what is the item? Like, what do I hold to be like, get out of the way, this thing's heavy.
Yeah.
So I found a cardboard box,
mm-hmm.
put it under my arm, finished riding to the festival,
yeah.
assembled it,
yeah.
and then put it on my shoulder and acted like it was really heavy.
Uh-huh.
And then just walked through the place where they're, you know, holding tickets and
did anyone say anything?
Not a thing.
No.
And then I'm in a festival like by myself.
Yeah.
And you know, I was like, sure enough, I'll know people in the area who are there. Yeah. Mike was there, hung out with him for a bit.
Yeah.
Other people.
And you know, Mike got in the thing without paying.
He did?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
He showed up 6 months early.
And let them build it around him.
Yeah.
Now that, yeah. yeah. I could see that.
His was not as cost effective right. as yours.
That's one way to do it.
He spent winter in that park.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I took it another level by trying to get backstage, and I did that many times.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where I was helping people that I knew. Like I had a friend who was too short to see above the crowd.
Yeah.
And she's like, if only I could get like a milk crate. And I was like, yeah, hang on. And I went backstage, found a milk crate, mm-hmm. brought it over to her.
That is unbelievable.
I ate the craft services
yeah.
at one point.
Oh, Pat, this is.
I went on stage for Wilco playing.
On stage?
Yeah. I only know a few Wilco songs, so it was when they were playing California Stars.
Yeah.
I like that Billy Bragg record they did. So
okay.
I went on stage for that.
Okay, well at least you liked one of their records.
Yeah, yeah.
To be on stage, for
them. Right.
I think this is beyond hilarious that you did this.
Yeah. Well, there's other stories for other days, but
well, that's the first one. That's Mike.
Yeah.
That's why we call him the schemer. Right? Right?
Yeah, Mike did see me that day with the box, and I did have a close call moment. I'll end with this.
Okay.
I decide, you know, Bob Dylan's playing a lot of his newer stuff.
Yeah.
I'm getting a little bored.
You're going to rewrite the set list?
The most exciting part for me that day was sneaking around.
Yeah.
That was the adrenaline rush.
And
I'm bored at a concert.
So you're ready to get bounced also at this point, almost. You're like, if I get bounced,
yeah,
so be it.
Thrill ride.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I go backstage again, and I go on stage again,
mm-hmm.
and then this time, a person on stage is like, I think it was at the point where I was like, okay, I've seen enough. I'm going to turn and go down this large metal, like, walkway. And, somebody, some security guy finally is like, hey, let me see those. And like looks at my lanyards.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
Or tries to, but I'm like trying to walk quick.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's screaming like, hey, hey. And I'm just like, at this point, like borderline running. And then I kind of sprinted into the crowd.
And he just couldn't.
Yeah.
Do anything about it. Just like some dude in a black polo shirt.
Yeah. I got away with it. Yeah. I ran into the crowd, watched the last couple songs, and went home.
That is epic.
Thank you.
Thank you, buddy.
All right.
That's why we call exactly the schemer. Jason's name is Dudio. Mike is, King Sleaze. No, that's not Mike's name. Mike's the Bleep House Poet, right? What are you, Mike? The Bleep House Poet?
The Bleep House Shakespeare.
The Bleep House Shakespeare. Okay. And what am I? And now Pat's the schemer. I don't know what I'm called. Just call me Tom. Just call me the loser. Right? The lovable loser. My friends. My friends, I want to tell you about a couple things, and then I'm going to bring my pal Dave Hill in to the studio. I want to tell you, the best show listener, maybe the lovable loser. What about that? Right? Guy who can't win. Right? Don't matter what happens, man. The flop. Right? Kid Floppo. But you know what I love lifts my spirits? Going over to Howl.fm. That's right. Now you're asking yourself, what on earth is Howl.fm? Aren't there enough websites out there? No, not when it comes to Howl.fm, you idiot. What is it? It's a brand new app and website that changes the way you think about podcasts. It's like Netflix, but for podcasts. With Howl Premium, you get exclusive access to dozens of original miniseries, audio documentaries, and comedy albums, all the archives for WTF with Marc Maron, and all the Earwolf shows like Comedy Bang Bang or How Did This Get Made? And there are some new Howl original miniseries that you just have to hear. Amanda Lund has a show called The Complete Woman. It's 1963. Divorce is on the rise and tides are changing. But love and marriage expert Maribel May is here to save your marriage. It's Amanda Lund bringing this character to life in this hilarious, accurate send-up of 1960s self-help records. And then there's a show called Something Cool. My friend Rachel Lichtman does it with my other friend Sarah Thayer. It's an audio documentary series that focuses on the brilliant careers of criminally underrated artists who deserve to have their stories told. The new episode has the story of the GTOs. You know them, the girl group that was made of Girls Together Outrageously. Their story is told on Something Cool. You got to hear it, man. I'm telling you. How do you hear it? Well, you go over to Howl.fm and use promo code Tom, and you get a one-month free trial of Howl Premium. And when you're paying for Howl, it's only $4.99 a month. All this content for your iPhone, your Android phone, and on the web for $4.99 a month. You go to Howl.fm and use promo code Tom to get that full month of free trial. To redeem that promo code, make sure you create your account on the web at Howl.fm and enter code Tom at checkout. Howl.fm. That's where it's all going down, man. My friends, football season marches on. And while your season-long fantasy team might be going nowhere fast, every week is a new shot for glory at DraftKings.com. DraftKings is the destination for one-week fantasy football where you can relive the fantasy draft and play for huge prizes each and every week. Challenge your friends in a custom league or join an existing one to play your share of $1 billion in prizes up for grabs this year. Just pick your prize, pick your contest, draft your players, and collect your winnings. That's it. renew old rivalries or create new ones by going head-to-head with friends, colleagues, and fantasy players from all over the country. DraftKings is crowning a new millionaire every week this season, and you could be next, but only if you play. This isn't fantasy as usual. It's DraftKings. Welcome to the big time. Hurry to DraftKings.com now. Use promo code BEST and play for free with your first deposit in Sunday's $1 million fantasy football contest. First place takes home $100,000 and a lifetime of bragging rights. Enter BEST for free entry now. And only at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. Enter promo code BEST. DraftKings.com. Oh boy. Cracking it there. Casey's at the plate. This guy's got a higher batting average than, he's like the Ted Williams of Coors Light. Like Mike would, like if Mike was Ted Williams, he would have batted 1,000. With Coors, though. Right? Mighty AP Mike steps to the plate with a what would you have? What would you bring up there? Those 20 can carry case things? Those are classy. Walk around with that thing. It's got a handle on it. It's classy. Look at me. I'm walking around with a suitcase. But what's in my look, it's my briefcase. I'm a businessman. But what's in my briefcase? Cans of beer. I fooled you. I'm here for a business meeting in the park. It's 1 p.m. I've scheduled a business meeting with myself in the park. Let me check my book. Okay. I have a 1 p.m. scheduled for the park. Yes, I'll see you in the, come meet me in the park. I have a one, I can get you in for a quick, a general meeting in the park. Bring your briefcase. I'll have my briefcase with me. Maybe your briefcase can be one of those White Castle boxes. We're just two businessmen walking around the park with our briefcases. Is Dave here?
Yeah.
Well, send him on in, guys. Don't hog him to yourselves. Don't hog him, guys.
Talking panels.
No, that's studio. Oh, no, there's Dave. Hello. Okay. Hey, Dave, how are you?
Nice to see you again.
It's good to see you. Welcome.
Pleasure.
Yes.
I love this whole...
Thank you.
Bunker.
Yeah. But just remember, we keep it clean here just like you do on WFMU.
I'm not going to... I don't require profanity.
I know you don't. You run a tight ship over there.
I will take advantage of it.
I was a part
of it. If it's presented to me.
Yeah, exactly.
I was talking about this not to... thank you.
No problem.
But in the UK... Was I talking about this last night? I was on this one station, and they were like, don't... before you go on, they're like, just real quick, don't use the C word more than once. Like
more than once? And I was, so you just get one.
Well, it was like, well, I don't need the one, but yeah, I'll take it. Yeah. But they're like, you can say the F and the S and whatever. Yeah. But anyway, laxer policies over there.
Could you give yours to someone else and they get two?
Yeah, or save up, like, over appearance. Well, I have, like, five C-words saved up.
You come back, you're 80 years old. You're like, I have 35 banked.
But then I thought it was, like, standard that you could say all that stuff on the radio. And then I was on one of the BBC stations, and I was like, oh, just real quick, so no more than one C-word, and I can say whatever else, right?
Yeah.
And they were like, no. you can't say any of those things.
Yeah. Are you sure you were on the radio?
It's hard to say. I mean, it seemed like it.
Now, your thing translates overseas. I could see that, right?
Yeah. I mean, It does.
For people who don't know this guy.
Which is, to be fair, a lot of most people.
No. Most people, but people in this world, they know who you are.
In this world, but this is a savvy world.
You're a stand-up.
Yeah, but I'm saying, you know, I can walk down the street. Mm-hmm. I came from Journal Square to this location unfettered.
Unfettered. And then you got here and you were fettered.
Fettered from the second I hit the buzzer.
Yes.
Yeah.
So.
Offered snacks.
Yeah, we got snacks out there. You offered me snacks, I'm offering you snacks.
I brought cookies in honor of Danny D, just like a symbolic.
Who's that?
Dan. You know him as Dan.
I just know that would, if I didn't know who he was. What if I truly?
Well, I always wonder.
I don't remember who that is.
I'm sure this is a conversation you've had, but I always wonder, like, because his name obviously is in tribute to your wife.
Terry T.
Does that frighten you that you're, like, he's just going to be outside your driveway or something? Yeah. Like,
that part, I don't think he's going to be outside. But there's just a low level of fear with him.
Yeah, like taking a detour that requires him to drive by your home to get somewhere nowhere near your home.
Yeah, I'm going to not think about that.
I shouldn't have run.
No, I'm going to scrub that.
Yeah, yeah, for the best.
He's a good guy.
He's a good guy.
We tease you, Dan.
We kid out of love.
Yeah, and just wait till the one day he shows up. In his devil's uniform, right? to your show on Monday nights. Now your show on Monday. So for people, Dave is a stand-up. Dave is a musician. Your band Valley Lodge, right? Mm-hmm.
We have a hot sound.
Yeah, and you've played with you come out of Cleveland.
Yes.
So you've got roots in the actual Cleveland rock world, which is one of the hottest rock worlds that's ever existed.
Yeah. I used to be in Cobra Verde, if people know that band. I'm sure people do.
Yeah.
I had a more obscure band called Sons of Elvis, which a horrible band name. But we were just young kids, scrappy youths.
Is there a point when you're just like, hey, guys, I'm not sure about this band name?
Yeah, after the second practice.
You were just like...
We didn't think that we would leave. We were literally practicing in the church basement of the school that we went to, grade school.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't know we'd be catapulted.
Yeah.
We didn't know we'd be caught up in the 90s alternative.
Every sport has their big, juicy controversy. Boxing has the Mike Tyson ear bite. Cycling has Lance Armstrong. Baseball has its steroid era. Curling has Broomgate. It's a story of broken relationships, houses divided, corporate rivalry, and a performance-enhancing broom.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
Broomgate. Available now.
Net, sure. The feeding
frenzy. Yes. One of the most frustrating periods of anything ever.
Yeah.
90s independent music.
Yeah.
Because it was right before everybody was okay with making money. It's the final time when it wasn't, when everybody was just like nobody talks about selling out anymore. Like never ever. Right? Do you ever hear anybody go, you're a sellout? It's like, no. They'll be like, you're selling your thing out. How do you do it? Can you tell
no,
me?
No, that's like a notion that doesn't exist. I mean, that's the whole idea now is to, there is no selling out, but everyone wants to sell everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But nobody's, what do you do when nobody's buying it, right?
Well, yeah. You gotta, you know, I'm an artist. That's what I tell myself.
Yeah, well, it's true. You are an artist. At Mr. Dave Hill. What if I was like, at Mr. Dave Hill, thanks for coming by. Like, I was on your show for 3 hours, and I'm just like, Dave, thanks for swinging by. It's like an eight-minute appearance.
Cherish every moment.
Well,
it would be,
it's like one of those, like, my thing is more like a magazine, news mag. It's like a Byron Allen type, Hey, thanks for coming by. Now we have coming up the Hollywood update.
I probably walk back to the PATH train and like be texting a friend like, did you hear? I think it went pretty well, but I'm not sure.
It went well. It was 6 minutes long.
It went so fast, but I think it went well.
I've never heard him have anybody on that little.
It was, but
probably like
it was
an hour.
a strong 6 minutes.
Yeah,
guns blazing. By the way, you know, you could, if you feel like it, you need to give me the heave-ho.
No, of course not. No,
I would, you know,
no.
No one hates Dave Hill more than Dave Hill. You know, well, so I would understand.
It has to be like that.
Yeah, though. It goes back to the artist thing, and the more specifically the Cleveland thing.
Yeah, is that because Ohio generally has a second class attitude, the people.
Yeah, like right. I always use this as an example, but sometimes I think when I was in Cobra Verde still, we opened for the Dictators, and what's his name, Wild Dick Manitoba.
Yeah,
Dick Manitoba comes out in a Yankees jersey, and he's like kind of thrusting the logo at the crowd, like we're from New York, hey.
Yeah.
And, like, kind of like, hey, we're better than you. And everyone in the crowd's like, yeah, of course. Like, there's no question. It didn't seem to be a baseball thing. He wasn't like, the Yankees are better than Indians. Yeah. It was like, our city's better. And everyone in the crowd's like, yeah, what? We know. Just play the song.
Well, first of all, I don't exactly remember him suiting up for the Yankees at any point. I don't remember. Remember when I...
Well, this, you know, I don't mean to drag Danny D back into this, but I do feel strongly that no grown man should wear the jersey of a sports team outside of his own home.
Okay. So.
Own home, free for all.
So within the walls of your house.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Wear whatever you want. Yeah.
Yeah. But like to walk around with a thing that says,
like a grown man wearing a jersey with the name of another grown man on the back.
Uh-huh.
As a kid, that always seemed crazy to me. Like even when I was of an age where I worshipped athletes, you know, that 6 months of my life or whatever, I thought it was strange that anyone would wear someone else's name on their back. Like, have some dignity, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Yeah. This is my hang-up.
It's all our hang-ups. Okay, all right. I've been told there's a... look, I'm here to give you a special night, Dave Hill.
This is like a make-a-wish thing.
Well, no, you're not dying, though. You're truly alive. And the first thing I want to do
for you... I have a limonada, which I appreciate. I didn't mean to treat myself much, but...
go crazy with that. On the phones right now. Sir?
Hello?
Is this my dad?
No.
Hello?
It's Dave Winthrop.
What's that goddamn noise?
No!
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It's Dave Windorf from Monster Magnet. Hey, Dave.
Oh.
Hey, Tom. What's up?
Awesome.
How are you?
Hey, Dave Hill.
Hey, I'm a huge fan. I don't know if, Tom, if you heard, but I played Twin Earth on the show last night.
Oh, yeah. I heard it when I came in the studio.
Well, you're
awesome.
Now, I have nothing to say, man. Thank you.
Yeah, I love your band. I've from Ground Floor.
Amazing. That's a long way down.
No, I mean,
ground floor is a long way down now. I remember the Sons of Elvis. I remember hearing about you guys when I was touring and you were talking about the fat 90s before.
Yeah.
We
had a van.
Yeah. I mean, it was like vans and Vans R Us with a lot of money back then.
Yeah, we
it
had
a really whole different world.
We got our label bought us a van and road cases, and we were like, mission accomplished.
Yeah.
Next Zeppelin.
You did it.
Here we come.
It's just a matter of playing out the string, because it's a matter of just, it's all downhill.
Now the label actually, they want your van. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
they want your van.
Yeah.
Now, Dave,
T-shirt sales and they own your car.
Dave, what's the biggest bus you ever had?
It was multiple buses.
Multiple buses.
Yeah, we had two of them. I guess I could have had three, but then we didn't adapt well to the big rock thing, so people got lonely. You know, it was like, we all get our own bus. But then he was like, well, what are you doing? You know, yeah. What are you doing on the bus when the girls are gone and stuff? Like, where's my buddy? So, but we had two buses, and we had them like what they call in the business wrapped with the logo, giant fire, you know, and a giant bull god and stuff. And it was like, it was, you know, it's the American dream. You had to go. I had to go that far. And it was insane.
And what years are we talking about?
This was like 2000, 2001, right before I just took a break because things got nuts.
Yeah. That was the... But you know what? You're, I got to say, your most recent album is as good as anything you've ever done with Monster Magnet,
you beat
right?
me to it. That's exactly what... There's, yeah.
Thanks, dude.
Awesome.
Yeah.
You know, I just try to be, you know, you gotta be true to it. You gotta, you know, when the going gets weird, you know, the weird get pro, like Hunter S. Thompson said.
Yeah.
It's like, I ain't getting any younger, so I feel weird and squirrely and old, and that's the kind of music I make now. And it seems to work because nobody's called me on it, you know? I just keep going.
Can I tell the first time I saw Monster Magnet story?
Yeah.
It was at the Cleveland Odeon. I don't know. You were playing with Korn. Let me be clear. I was there seeing you, and I did not watch Korn.
Oh, that was a brutal tour. Yeah.
No offense to Korn, except the obvious offense.
Oh, I have plenty of offense.
But,
I have plenty of heaps of it.
Of offense well, there, from that tour?
Yes, I have. How much offense do you want? Well, I can sell about a pound when it comes to this.
They're the elder statesmen of horrible music now.
That was a bad time. Bad time. It bode ill for the future.
Mm-hmm. But
remember when they came through, it was like, I don't think things are going to get better, and they didn't.
I remember around that time, someone was like, watch, this kind of music's going to catch on. And I was like, no way.
Yeah.
No one. The Americans don't have that bad a taste.
Yeah.
And well, they do. They have much worse taste even. But I remember at that show. And I'm sure you did this many times, but you, Dave, you gave your guitar to the audience, and they passed it around the whole floor, and then you kind of summoned it back. And I was watching this, and I was like, I would be at some point, I'd be freaking out because there's literally hundreds of people pawing at and tearing apart his Strat, I think it was.
Yeah,
And you just like summoned it back and remained like totally cool and calm for this one, and it went over on for like 20 minutes probably. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They would, it was a big awesome. Giant psych, like a psych thing. I would just like do that, and I really just to prove that people could actually be cool enough to do it, and they did it. I mean, 9 times out of 10, they'd get it back as long as you don't scream at people. Mm-hmm. They're nice.
Because then,
and conversely, Korn would scream at people, and then everybody in some horrible, like, you know, lip pierced freak out at the end, you know, kill each other.
So you have, because Dave, you come up, Dave Windorf, you come up, and you're coming from a very, I don't want to say traditional, but you're coming up from, you're not just some metal doofus.
No, I was a grown man. I was like, you know, I was like a 32-year-old man.
Yeah.
Who had already like spent his, when I was a kid, the first concert I ever saw was Slade, featuring guitarist Dave Hill, by the way.
Oh,
Dave Hill.
I love Slade. I was just talking, you must know Monty Connor, right?
Why do I know that
Not
name?
Key to the story. But okay. Anyway, I thought you might. I think he founded Roadrunner, but someone told me.
Yes, that guy. I know that guy.
Someone told me that he was, because I claim that I'm the foremost Slade fan in North America, and then someone was like, no, Monty Connor is, and I finally met him, and I think he might be the foremost. But anyway, it's rare that you get to talk Slade with anybody.
No, I mean, I think a lot of people have blotted out memory, you know, because look at those guys and listen to them. It's like, that really happened.
That's the other. I played Raining in My Champagne, and then I played Twin Earth last night.
Mm-hmm.
Dude. Well, talk about, I mean, punk rock. It's like, it doesn't get any more punk rock than that. Like, chew on that, man. You know?
Yeah.
Have some weird gnomish red haired guy in a top hat and some, like, like prematurely bald guy with long straight hair going, nah! I mean, that literally, it's like beyond words.
Yeah.
And that just shaped you forever.
Yeah. It was that. It was. psychedelic rock scene and psychedelic prog, Hawkwind, Black Sabbath, early 70s, and then the switch into glam would all happen at the same time. And then by the time I was old enough to actually do it, I was at CBGB's with the Ramones, and it all seemed kind of the same thing. It all had, you know, there was more money involved here on one thing, but it was all kind of rock, and it was definitely a traditional, more of a traditional way of doing things than the new metal scene, which was really, really like a shilled. Like one of the first hard rock things I've ever seen shilled like a bubblegum machine by big record companies. You know, they shilled that like they would shill the Monkees in 68. So, and all the kids, they thought it was, you know, cutting edge and blah, blah, blah. I didn't realize they were just buying a big load of, you know, prepackaged crap.
Yeah.
But anybody who'd been around knew it was like, well, this is like, I guess it's something.
And also, look, first of all, the Monkees had top-notch people writing songs for them, and the word was out that the Monkees was a prefabricated thing from the get-go.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. It was out there.
But Korn is going around acting like they're legit.
That was such a weird time, man. It was just like right pre-Dig. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when analog had gone, the whole analog world has gone about as far as it could go.
Yeah.
I mean, they had tiny little fax machines and everything was about to go crazy. And obviously kids didn't have the patience for anything else. They didn't have the patience to be challenged by their entertainment. You know, it was just give me what I want. Well, what do you want? I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. Give me more, you know?
Yeah.
And, so that era of being cool and exploring things and taking your time to figure out what's cool was over, and everything was getting chopped up into niches and like just doled out with giant spoons of money.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the things. I remember it was that and DJ culture that, you know, was starting to get shoved on but actually just offered up and eaten up fine.
Mm-hmm.
It just didn't leave any time for the old folks or the people that like to think about stuff, and indie people too, indie snobs and stuff. They all didn't know what to do. Everybody was kind of like, all right, this is the way it's going to be. It's like, yeah, we're bypassing all you guys.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember Marilyn Manson went down in that crush.
Yeah. Everybody, when the shakeup comes, people get shook up.
It's true. I mean, you can just see guys with guitars at train stations and bus stations waiting to go home. And, you know, and like the new world is here. The new kid is here. And he's going, my father touched my butthole. That's my song. You know, it's a child. Remember child abuse rock?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was a
Papa
thing for
Roach.
A while. Papa Roach.
Yeah, and Papa Roach. I had a very long story about my encounter with Papa Roach. I hung out with
them.
That's
a sentence you don't hear a lot.
Yeah, it was a thing where it was. I'm not going to tell the whole story because there won't be any show left by the time it's done. But I was writing for a basketball magazine at that point, and they asked me, "Hey, would you like to go to this event over at Chelsea Piers? The guys from Papa Roach are going to play four contest winners from who won this Jim Beam contest." And they're going to play full court basketball against Papa Roach. And each team will be assisted by, each team had one member of the Harlem Globetrotters on it.
That's the most disgusting thing I've ever heard in my whole life.
And then Papa Roach watching these four out of shape contest winners play the four out of shape guys from Papa Roach. And then also two guys on the Harlem Globetrotters just totally pulling their punches now. They could have wrapped the game up in like 2 minutes.
You can imagine the discussion with the Harlem Globetrotters. Like, what the fuck is this? Oh, excuse me. Yeah. What is this stuff? You
know? Yeah, they're just.
We gotta play with these guys.
Yeah, they're wondering what. Yeah, so yeah. Thanks for catching yourself on that, Dave. I appreciate that.
Not as good as a win, is it?
Yeah. So, Dave Windorf.
Yes.
You did the recontextualizing album of Last Patrol.
Yeah, I went on like a mad ringer and started like redoing stuff to suit the new Monster Magnet sound, basically. Mm-hmm. It was really fun.
And
came up with new songs out of it and the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy, because I went to the studio once. I watched Dave work on the Last Patrol album.
Oh,
it was the craziest thing I ever saw in my life. I couldn't believe what I was seeing, how he was doing the things he was doing. It was like a one-man Hawkwind.
I'm just jealous.
Well, not one man. It was you and
Phil.
You and
yeah,
Phil was there.
I watched some video where just even the amp setup, it gave me a condition.
Yeah.
Oh, you should come on with us sometime, because it's like you're a fantastic guitarist, dude.
How do you know that?
Because I got the YouTube.
Oh, man.
And
that's high praise.
It's it's really, really good. I mean, you got that the surf thing down. That's a hard thing to get.
People
don't get that, and that's a lost art. That's going to be like jazz in 10 years. You know what I mean? Where it's like hard rock and surf and all that. That's going to be guitaring. It's going to be such a tiny praised thing that will stand in some weird club in some foreign city, and people will pay like $200 to sit at a table to watch us go, and this is a Fender Twin.
Yes.
Remember these things? We'll roll it out and dust off the cobwebs.
It seems like people don't, like, it's not cool to be good at the guitar. Like, the young kids, I go to Guitar Center, I'm like, just get out of here, go practice, come back later.
Yeah.
No, it's not cool. Nuance is like dead. You know, there's no time for nuance. The whole thing is now is that there is no time to shill yourself and be good at what you do. You either choose one. You either be good or you shill.
Yeah.
Because nobody cares. Nobody looks that deep. They don't really care if you're that good.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess someday they will, but right now the whole thing is just to be out there and be alive and prove you're alive. A lot of talking, man. I mean, talk has always been cheap, but it's never been cheaper than 2015.
That's,
never.
Dave, you always, you know what the thing is? You're singing your songs all about, like, the way, because you grow up, you're listening to, like, Hawkwind sing about just, like, space apocalypse and things like that.
Yeah.
But now you're doing real apocalypse stuff.
Yeah, who needs the fake apocalypse, you know? We got that in movies, and you can go see the Avengers or any superhero movie or any, you know, fantastic blow-em-up movie and all that stuff, and we've had them for a while, but now they're bigger than ever. Fantasy is an indulgence. It's not going to mean anything. It doesn't mean anything to me now. Mm-hmm. I wish I could have a fantasy that could take me out of the adventure of actual life, but, man, I mean, now, this time period is the most insane time ever, but I don't hear it in the music at all.
Mm-hmm.
That's a weird, like, at least in the 60s, in the 70s, it was reflected some way in the music.
Mm-hmm.
Now, nobody, especially top of the charts, nobody's singing about what it feels like to live now. It's kind of bugging me out. I mean, that's all I do. I'm not trying to be, overwrought about it, but the same thing is, like, how can you live in the early 21st century and not realize that things are, like, crazy and odd and funny and weird? And not sing about it.
Mm-hmm. You know what you should do, Dave? Go to Band. Do you ever go to Bandcamp and check stuff out?
Oh, yeah.
Go to
Bandcamp all the time.
Go to apmike.bandcamp.com. AP Mike has music up there. I'm telling you. This guy, Dave, this guy is like, he's like Leonard Cohen in this.
It is like Leonard Cohen. I heard the thing that last summer, what was the thing he released last summer?
It was, what was the thing he did?
The Story of the Kid.
Yeah, Michael Perry. He did the song.
Insane.
Yeah.
I mean, dude, I mean, it's like, I don't care if he's serious or not. I don't care if that was a mistake.
Oh, no, he's serious.
But do more, because that sounds like now.
Yeah, Mike sounds like.
It sounds like a Daniel Close. If a Daniel Close illustration would sound like something, that's what it sounds like.
He's, you know what? I'm so glad you said that. But now I'm never going to hear the end of it from this guy. He's going to be saying, well, Dave said, I'll be saying, like, hey, Mike, don't just drop your can of Coors on the floor. And he'll say, like, well, you heard what Dave said. I'm like a Daniel Klaus comic.
This is Daniel Klaus.
Yeah.
Well, he's got to do a whole album of it. It doesn't count. That's the way the rules go.
I think,
you have to do a whole album. And then, so he's got to sweat now. He's got to follow it up. That's the rule.
I think so, right?
Yeah.
You hear that, Mike? You got to do an album.
You can't follow it up.
Collaboration.
Yes. Why don't you go get...
Set it up.
Yeah, why don't you get Monster Magnet to back up AP Mike?
That's we've got European festivals written all over it.
Yeah.
I could bring him down to...
Yeah, like Hostel.
Studio 13 in Red Bank where you were.
Yeah. It'll be like, yeah. You hear that, Mike? You'll be down in Red Bank recording with Dave and Phil. But you got to pay. You can't just expect these guys to... These guys aren't like that other dude you're taking for a ride with all... Mike's got this guy he takes for a ride, Jesse. He's taking him for a ride. Jesse's like... I think Mike's promising him things he's not delivering on.
But what, a cut? A cut of what?
Exactly.
A cut of the stream?
Yeah, 40%
of sound. I'll give you a cut of Apple Music.
Yeah.
Here's your half a cent.
Yeah, he's gonna cut him in on all the Spotify money that they get.
All that Spotify. Man, I got a check from Spotify last month, $165 for over 75,000 streams.
Wow.
That's
actually one of the higher amounts I've heard.
Yeah, it's over, dude. I mean, it's like everyone who thinks you're going to make any money, get out of my way and let serious musicians actually do music because, you know, it's rough out there.
Yeah. What's the next thing for Monster Magnet?
I'm going to, I need to go on tour because
that's
where the money is and I have to like pay for my house and stuff and I'm building the bunker in the backyard. So, more on that later. So I need to go on tour and I get these weird things where sometimes the only offers I get are for stuff that was done, you know, 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. So A&M Records, which were heavily promoted in the fat 90s. Mm-hmm. It's weird being in a band that's been around for a while. You know, you're not prepared. It's like you're never prepared for growing up. Any person, any American kid isn't prepared for growing up. But growing up in a band and being around for almost 25 years, I have to look at these things and like, well, we'd love, you know, they're re-releasing, not has anything to do with me, but they're re-releasing all the A&M records, which were heavily promoted by giant record companies in the 90s. Mm-hmm. And we'd love you to tour that. So I thought, yeah, but I have this new reimagining of, and they're like, what are you talking about? Yeah. Reimagining?
Yeah.
And this is psychedelic dribble.
Yeah.
It sounds like some, you know, crazy old man sitting with a Mellotron and a pack of Marlboros.
Yeah. No, they want you to do the other.
So where I'm going to do it, but I'm turning that stuff inside out. I mean, no, they're not even going to recognize what it's going to be the most fuzzed out, progified, psychified, bizarrified version.
I love it.
Of Monster Magnet in the 90s. It's going to be more on the Super Judge Twinner side of the sound.
That's awesome.
Nice.
And one way or another, I always manage to like pull something off because in Europe, thankfully, there's people that are into the whole thing. They're like into music for music's sake and not.
But you got to do a show. You got to do a New York show.
We'll do it. We'll do
it. You got it. Because the last tour. You had vocal stuff, right? You had vocal. You were sick.
I got the flu. I got the flu, and it went down. It was like, take him to the hospital kind of stuff. And it was bad. So I had to cancel the last week of the tour, which
Bowery Ballroom
included New York
I was
City.
Feared. I had already started pre-gaming for that a week and or 2 weeks in advance.
I couldn't wait.
That was such a bummer. And it was a real bummer for me because we had already played all these places that not didn't matter, but, you know, the great wasteland inside the.
But now it's time to for the people who are still holding on to that. You got to let them cash their chips, Dave.
Well, I learned my lesson. I think I'll start off in New York this time.
Yes, not Detroit. I mean. You started off in Detroit last time.
Yeah, but Detroit's really good for us. Detroit really is.
Oh no, you go to Detroit. I'm fine with you going to Detroit.
Just don't end in New York. Yeah, right, the last show.
They get it after we get it.
America's a weird place to tour now. It's a very strange place, quite different than it used to be.
Well, wait. You think it's weird now? Wait till you're out on the road with AP Mike and Dave Hill. You're gonna be like, yeah. I guess it. I wish I could go back to how weird it was in 2015.
No, it's okay. I mean, I actually like that idea.
Uh-huh.
We do, you know, start doing stuff. Right. I mean, it's really got to the point where it's why don't the band set up on the floor and have the audience be on the stage. Because really, that's a better allotment of space.
That would be.
You know? Yeah. You know what I mean? It's just a protest against anything. Like, we're flipping this thing on its ear here. Mm-hmm. The audience sits on stage and tables, and the band sits up on the floor. And it's like, well, that makes more sense.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dave, I love it. I can't wait to see you again. Are you, you're around? I want to, let's meet up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Before you hit the road.
I'm here. I took the whole summer off. I went off the grid.
Mm-hmm.
No computers, no nothing. I read a ton of books and visited nuclear facilities, ancient nuclear facilities from the Cold War, mm-hmm. On a bicycle.
I tell you, you are pushing the boundaries.
That's
man.
The perfect summer,
yeah,
right
it,
there.
It was nuts, but you know why? Because you'd think it's like, well, how long will that take? A couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
There were so many nukes around here, and my head got so strange from doing this. Like, mm-hmm. all right, I'm going to go to this place. It's Atlantic Highlands, mm-hmm. New Jersey, on top of a mountain, and they used to be like NORAD, you know, like you know, total, you know, strategic air mm-hmm. air defense, and all the old hulks of the buildings are there, and these big pits where nukes used to be. It was truly, truly bizarre.
Wow.
And then I bought an old Mellotron and kind of locked myself in a shed for a month.
Dave, I love it. I love that this is where you're at with the stuff. And I can't wait to hear you and the Mellotron and AP Mike. Dave Windorf plus Dave Hill times AP Mike plus Mellotron.
You have to be in there playing the Mellotron, dude, because you got to get, we have to pull off some, like side two of Fragile or something, you know? You got to take the Rick Wakeman.
Yeah.
You got to take the Wakeman thing. The great thing about the Mellotron is that it doesn't shut up until it wants to shut up. And when it does want to shut up, it goes completely off. So it's this giant, surging, wheezing beast, like approximating a string.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the sound of an electric teardrop. It's the saddest sound. And then the signal drops out, so it just cuts off. So anyone that tries to play it, mm-hmm. pro or non-pro, always sounds like the same guy.
Yeah.
Really,
that's
cool.
Awesome. Dave, thank you for calling in and giving everybody a treat. I always love talking to you, buddy. You know that.
Thank you too, man. And Dave Hill, it was a pleasure to meet you. I hope I see you again.
Likewise.
I'll put you guys in touch.
Yeah, please do. Please do, because I'm a big fan, Dave. I think you're really, really funny. And
thank you. That's an honor.
I really, truly enjoy people that speak softly.
Well, you just hit Easy Street then.
Well, you know why? Because I think it's important. The din is getting so loud that I tend to go for, the softer voices, because everyone else is making just too much loudness, myself included.
Oh,
Dave,
man.
I love you, buddy.
I love you too, bud.
I will talk to you soon.
Right,
awesome. Thanks, Dave.
Okay. Bye, Dave.
All right, bye.
That was awesome. He's spending his time exactly as I would want doing.
I could cry. Like, it almost seems like you could have written down on a piece of paper, like, what do you think Dave Windorf is doing? You'd be like, probably riding his bike to decommission nuclear facilities and then playing a Mellotron.
Oh, man, it's perfect.
No, he's
I don't even think I could have. He exceeded my expectations.
Yeah, he's the coolest. I love Dave Windorf. I knew you would.
Oh
like
my
to
God. I was tongue tied.
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan of his and Monster Magnet. I was even going to bring up Shrapnel.
Yeah. No, he's like the real deal. He has walked the walk his whole life.
Yeah.
Who's good here, Mike? One. Best Show, you're on the air with me and Dave Hill.
Hi, guys. It's Jefferton from Texas.
Jefferton from Texas. What's going on, Jefferton?
I'm awestruck by Dave Windorf. Dave Windorf was one of the first guests I ever heard on the Best Show. It was him and Matt Fraction, and I loved him before, and I loved him even more after that show.
Yeah, he's great. You know who else is great? Dave Hill's great.
Oh, thank you.
Dave Hill is very great.
And he's here.
Thank you. I'm no Dave Windorf.
Well, nobody is. I'm not gonna be like, sure you are. It's like, no, that dude is.
And
he's operating on a different plane.
And I wanted to ask, he's probably riding that bike in like a leather jacket and leather pants and stuff.
Yeah.
No concession to heat.
I've gone and like eaten lunch with him in like New Jersey and stuff. And he's just like, he's like a regular dude. But then you're like, you look at him and you're just like, well, no, you're still the dude from Monster Magnet. Like,
yeah,
you're still like a rock legend. And you know what the bummer is about this whole thing? Guys like me and you, Dave, we got to like sweat for it.
Yeah.
But then who does he gravitate towards? AP Mike. He hears the thing. He hears the spirit that this maniac is doing with his thing. And I threw that out there. I didn't know if Dave had heard that stuff. He's like, yeah. He's
he
like, yeah, I heard it. It's amazing. But now, but then he throws the thing down. Mike's got to do an album now. So Mike's going to come in. Will you do an album, Mike? Why don't you do it? Because you could be like Leonard Cohen got a later start, right?
Yeah.
Right? You're like the Leonard Cohen of this age, Mike. Right? Like, each era gets the Leonard Cohen that they need. Right? The late 60s got the Leonard, they actually got Leonard Cohen.
Which worked out great.
Yeah. For him and
yeah.
For everybody, for all parties. But now, 2015 going into 2016, we need Mike to be our Leonard Cohen, right? Just picture like if Mike was at that festival where the people were starting to lose their marbles and then Leonard Cohen came out super late. And as I said, hello, everybody. I'd like you all to hold up a match and let me all know that you're here tonight. And then, like, that would be Mike. Mike would be at some festival. He'd be like, hey, everybody. He'd be, hold up your, what would Mike, probably want some, I don't even want to say what Mike would ask everybody to hold up. Frederick said, Monster Mike Magnet. And look, Mike, yeah, I said that you should record with it. You're not going within 10 miles of those guys. You got to write a check before you get into the thing with Phil and Dave. That ain't happening. You're not going to take them for a ride though. This way, this poor Jesse guy. Jefferson.
Yes, sir.
What do you got to say to Dave Hill?
Well, since tonight was part two of the monumental Best of Both Worlds
yes.
crossover, I was going to ask you guys, do you have any favorite crossovers? In the Scorsese verse also counts, so you can say the Scorsese first.
Well, no, but that was a flight of fancy I went on a couple weeks ago where I was imagining all the characters from the Martin Scorsese movies teaming up to help defeat an asteroid heading toward Earth. Trying to think of crossovers. You know, like when you were a kid and you'd be like, wait, why is this person on that TV
Oh, like
show?
When Mork was on Happy Days and
yeah,
stuff?
Yeah. Well, that was like a long, that was like, I guess they must have known they were just going to, they're like, look, we're going to do some Mork from Mork show. Let's drop him on Happy Days first. Like it's probably the most calculated, like when you're a kid, you're like, oh my God. The alien was on Happy Days. And then you're like, and he has his own show now.
But I still choose to believe that's how it happened.
Yeah. But now, you didn't realize back then, they were just like, all right, we got the morgue. Where can we put this idiot? Get the word out. Let's put him on Happy Days. Well, that takes place in the 50s. Eh, no big deal. He shows up in the 50s. Like, at that point, Happy Days barely took place in the 50s anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Like Scott Baio had like a 70s haircut.
Yeah.
So imagine a guy going into a Milwaukee drive-in like malt shop with like long hair at that point.
Yeah.
They'd stomp him.
And how come they never there's no Chuck, the brother Chuck's whole history is erased?
Yeah, they scrubbed him.
Completely.
Because he was dribbling that basketball upstairs.
Boom. They didn't even say, like, he moved to another town or something.
There just was no brother. And then Fonzie had that.
That's horrifying.
Remember the jacket Fonzie started off wearing? It was like a blue windbreaker.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because they were like, we can't have this guy in a leather jacket. It's too scary. And then finally, they came up with a rule. Gary Marshall came up with this thing where he's like, well, what if Fonzie only wears the leather jacket when he's with his motorcycle? And then they were like, okay, that's fair because you need to wear a leather jacket when you're on a motorcycle. And then Gary Marshall was like, every scene this guy's in, he's got his motorcycle with him. I don't care if he's in the, I don't care if he's in Arnold's. He's got his motorcycle's inside with him. And that's how that actually went down. He was in the, so that he got the, to the motorcycle never left Fonzie's side. No, you're having too much fun. Goodbye. Best Show, you're on the air. Hello? Hey, you're gone. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. This is Evan from Saskatchewan.
Evan from Saskatchewan. What's going on in Saskatchewan, Evan?
Well, actually, I'm in Vancouver tonight.
Mm-hmm.
In the rain, watching some TV set. But I wanted to phone in and say hi to you and Dave, Mr. Dave Hill.
You didn't
Hello.
Make... I'm sorry.
What?
I need to step on your
hello. Oh, that's all I had. Oh, I was going to ask, where in Saskatchewan? Moose Jaw?
Oh, I'm from... Yeah, I am from Moose Jaw, actually.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
I got...
raised in...
That can't be right. Oh.
No, this might be right.
Yeah, tell me.
I nailed it on
tell
one guess.
Tell me about Moose Jaw.
Yeah.
I just have a weird autism for Canadian cities.
Tell me about Moose Jaw.
Flin Flon, Manitoba, Medicine mm-hmm. Hat, Alberta.
Sure.
Moose Jaw is where... Clark Gillies is from, I want to say.
Clark Gillies. Brian Trotche as well.
Brian, from the Islanders.
New York Islanders.
Then he played for Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. He lived on the street from my cousins in Manhasset.
Are you?
Brian, yeah, I went, when I was a kid, I went and hung out on his front lawn until he came outside.
The hockey star, Brian Trotche.
Yeah.
So that must have been a treat for him. Is- These kids
Ooh, he
won't.
Was thrilled, yeah.
These kids won't leave.
He handled it with grace.
Mm-hmm. Well, hockey guys seem to roll with that stuff a little more than maybe like baseball players. It's like, don't they seem like the most like angry of all the athletes in terms of being just like they would literally be terrible to a fan, right? Like, they're just, like, mad at them. It's like, wait, you're 22. Why are you – you're not an old-timey ball player. Like, that's that happened already. So you, young man.
Yes, sir.
Evan, you did not make it to Toronto to see us live, did you? Too far away.
I didn't. I had tickets for this. Yeah. I had tickets at some point, but I had to give them up to continue working. I apologize.
Sure.
On the West
Coast. Look, I appreciate you were in, but it's a commitment. I appreciate you trying. I want to say this, though. Listen up, everybody. Sharpling and Worcester played in Toronto a couple weeks ago, then Boston. We're ending 2015. Where? Philadelphia. This Sunday, December 13th at Union Transfer. There are still tickets available, and I'm telling you this. This show, we're going all out on this one and making this one the craziest one we've done yet. It's going to be bonkers. And if you're on the fence, if you're saying like, oh, I don't know if I can go to Philly, I'm in New York. It's like you're not going to want to miss this one. We got all sorts of stuff, special, fun things are going to happen. I want to tell you this. We will have Neil Numberman did these amazing posters for the show that we will have at the show, and we will sign them afterwards for everybody. We'll be out there. We'll have the box sets, the Grammy unnominated Best Show box set, Sharpling and Worcester. Sure, 15 years of our lives documented. No, of course, yeah, by all means, nominate that Jay Moore album instead. No, give him the nod. Jay, could you imagine a Jay, look, and Dave Hill, I'm not going to drag you into my the cobwebs of this. It's a trap, and you never get out. Stay out of this. Don't enter, because you won't get out. We'll have the box sets there. And this, I'm going to add on a special, exciting thing. Mike? What would you think of this? You know you have those headshots you've had in the past? Why don't we set up a little table where you'll sign headshots? You'll sell autographed headshots. Okay?
Yeah.
I'll even spring for the new headshots. How about that? Who out there, is there anybody out there, and this is serious, who can turn these things around but fast? I'll send you, I have the file from the headshots you had before. I have the file. If somebody out there can turn these things around so we can bring them to the show, this is the time to get in touch with me. Drop me a line at Twitter or bestshowforlife@yahoo.com. And it's number four. Bestshow4life@yahoo.com. Will Mike sign them as Dennis? Someone wants to know. Because who doesn't remember Mike's classic line when he said, looking for it. Here it is. When Mike said,
"Hi, I'm Dennis."
Yeah. Who doesn't remember that? So Mike will be there signing stuff. I'm telling you, seriously, do not miss this show. We're blowing out 2015 in a big way. Philadelphia, Union Transfer, this Sunday, December 13th, Sharpling and Worcester Live. Tickets at stereolaughs.com/tour. That's stereolaughs, LAFFS.com/tour. We're going for it. You know what it's like to go for it at a show, Dave, right?
Sure, that's the only way to,
right?
To do it.
Exactly.
Remember
in Cannonball Run when Burt Reynolds, as J.J., he was playing J.J. McClure was his character's
role
name.
Of a lifetime.
The role of a lifetime. And then Farrah Fawcett said, because they were driving around in an ambulance, and she was basically pretending to be a patient. And Burt Reynolds, or J.J. McClure said, we're racers, not rapists. Because, like, which I thought was a very, because he said, and she said, why are you doing this? And he said, well, look, back then, when I was a kid, my father worked his whole life. He had a dream to retire, go fishing, tell my mother lies. And then he died right before he got to retire. So right then and there, I decided I was going to go for it each and every day, no matter what. I would go for it. And that's what we're going to do with that show.
Where's the racist, not rapist part?
Because she thought it was going to be some sort of sleazy situation it was her getting into a van with Dom DeLuise.
Oh, okay. Reynolds. I couldn't figure out why he was making that clarification.
Jack E. Lamb. Remember him? The doctor with the wonky eye.
Sure.
Yeah. They should reboot that movie. Wouldn't that be a good reboot?
Oh,
Cannonball
my gosh.
Run. Imagine that now. Who would it be? Seth Rogen would be in there.
We'd
somewhere.
Have to get Seth Rogen. You'd have to get Ben Stiller.
Yeah.
Throw him a mustache on him.
Ryan Reynolds would probably be with Burt Reynolds in it, right?
Yeah.
Like some slab of beefcake.
Yeah, that Ryan Gosling and Ryan Reynolds agents to fight it out.
For who gets the privilege of the movie that will end their career. But then you'd have to get because they had Roger Moore thought he was James Bond in the movie. So what if they got Pierce Brosnan to update that? How is this not happening? How is this coming up now?
People are picking up their phones.
Yeah,
on the West Coast right now.
Right now they're just like
this. This is a call to arms.
They're calling Hal Needham's estate, saying, "Who's got the rights for Cannonball? Who's got Cannonball locked up?" But little do they know, I got it locked up. And wait till you see this Cannonball Run.
You get Jessica Simpson in the Farrah Fawcett role.
Yeah.
bring her, because her, she could use that.
Sure, that would be
that spike in her career. She's perfect timing.
That's exactly where Farrah Fawcett was at that point.
Yeah.
Like, still a pretty lady, but had seen more bountiful days career-wise.
Yeah, she had a few miles on her. No pun intended.
Yeah. But if I was to reboot, it would be Dave Windorf, AP Mike, Dudio, you, Fredericks from Newport Richie, Danny D.
Danny D.
Racing across the country. He'd be driving.
I'd like to see it.
He'd be driving in a devil's mobile.
With half empty big gulps. No, like
yeah.
Two thirds empty big gulps lining the floor.
Uh-huh. As he, yeah. On your show last night, a trucker, what was the trucker's name?
Vaughn, the trucker.
Vaughn, V-O-N.
He had a name you would want him to have.
Yeah. I asked him what I thought was a pretty valid question about trucker law out there, and he denied it. Trucker justice.
Yeah.
There is no way these dudes don't police themselves. Like, we're not bringing the cops in on this. We'll take care of it.
Yeah, it's like the tire iron justice, probably, yeah. Right?
Like asleep in the cab, and then the next thing they come out, or they go and they're taking their free shower, and they come out, their truck's on fire. And it's like, well, trucker looks at it, he's like, well, trucker justice.
Yeah, he knew he had it coming.
Or he goes and they're pouring gasoline all over the truck. He says, look, can I just get my duffel bag out?
There's a picture of my kid in there.
Yeah, just let me get my duffel bag. Before you torch it, can I just get my... It's like, yeah, you got 30 seconds. Whatever you can carry.
Oh, man. I don't know why I haven't brought this up with Vaughn the trucker, but my dad, in the past year or two, from out of nowhere, he was a lawyer his whole career, showed no signs of wanting to be a trucker, for example. And then he's 83 years old now. Mm-hmm. And he started telling my sister, like, hey, you know, God, every time they'd see a truck on the highway, he'd be like, man, I love those trucks. I'd love to drive one of those 18-wheelers. She's like, it's the weirdest thing. He brings it up all the time. And we thought it was like, well, dementia, I guess. And then I started asking him to see, like, what's he saying about this? And he's just like, oh, man, they're just great. And so I started investigating. I'm like, I don't know where this urge is coming from, but if he wants to drive a truck, I'm going to do my damnedest to get him behind the wheel of an 18-wheeler.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to do. I called a truck driving school, and I was like, you know, I want to do this for my dad. And he's like, well, he's going to have to go to school for 6 weeks before he can get behind the wheel. And I was like, well, did you hear the part where I said he's 82? Mm-hmm. And he's like, that doesn't matter. So, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So and eventually, my sister talked to him again, and he's like, you know, I'd be happy just to ride in the passenger seat. So we found a trucking school, and this guy drove us around. We thought 10 minutes, that'll be fun, then we'll go grab lunch.
Mm-hmm.
Hour and a half. Mm-hmm. My sister, my nephew, and me in the back compartment, the part you assume to be reserved for sex and cocaine.
Sure.
We're back there.
Yes.
And my dad and this guy, we drove around for an hour and a half. Longest hour and a half of my life, but
you're just getting jostled and waiting for your dad to be like, all right, I get it.
No, we had to drag him out of
like
that.
He would have hit the road with that truck.
Oh,
like if
yeah.
that trucker was like, where was this in Ohio?
In Ohio, yeah.
Like if this trucker was like, all right, we're going to New Mexico. I got to bring this to New Mexico. you want to, and he's like, are you in or you're out? Your father would have been like.
I think, yeah, absolutely. Because he had nowhere to be, yeah.
Yeah.
He could still be on the road.
He would. That would. You're allowed to do whatever you want.
I know. I thought it was pretty cool.
I think that's awesome. And good for you guys setting him up in the rig.
He still brings it up. I've tried to impress him and make him proud in so many ways my whole life.
Uh-huh.
That's the only thing that got any traction with him.
Was
getting him to ride in the truck.
Ride in the truck.
He still talks about it.
That is awesome.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Let's take another call here. Hello, Best Show.
You have a collect call from an inmate at Curran Fromhold Correctional. facility. Do you accept the charges?
Like, this is a call from a prison from an inmate? Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'll definitely accept the charges.
You're a rich girl, and it's on too far, so you know it don't matter
if... Oh, hang on, sorry, let me turn my tunes down. How's it going?
Hello? Wait, is this Roy?
How'd you know it was me?
Well, I recognize your voice.
Oh.
And then, yeah, wait, what was, I heard Hall & Oates.
Yeah, Rich Girl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I heard that play, so your voice plus the Hall & Oates tipped it that it was you.
Oh, you put two and two together.
I did, yes.
Fair enough.
What were you playing that song on?
Oh, my iRiver MP3 player. I snuck it into the hut. What I did was I stowed it up in my... Oh, you didn't bleep me, did you?
Oh, yeah, no, I totally bleeped you. I had to...
What?
Come on, Roy.
Are you kidding me? They're saying S hit on Fargo like every 2 minutes, and I can't say that I stowed my iRiver MP3 player up in my... Did you do it again?
Yeah, I did.
Oh. Yeah. Well, look, to answer your question, I play that through, the cardboard paper towel tube. That acts as a speaker.
Really?
Yeah. I'm learning all kinds of fun things in here.
Uh-huh. Well, can I ask you about here?
Sure. Yeah.
Why on earth are you in jail?
Oh, man, check it out. I got a total bum rap. You know, they still say that in here.
Bum rap?
Yeah.
That's like a thing?
Oh, yeah, they all say it.
Guys are saying they got a bum rap?
Look, yeah, see, I got a bum rap, see?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, a couple guys talk like that still.
Are those old guys?
Guys in their 40s.
40s? Guys in their 40s, that's like a Jimmy Cagney voice.
Who?
I barely know who that is either.
No, Peter Brady said on the Bradys, remember? On that show, the Bradys.
Yeah, on the Bradys. That show. I think it was called the Brady Bunch.
What?
Yeah.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, it was. Not
no,
the
remember,
Brady.
Here's the story about the Bradys.
Yeah.
They're doing stuff in California, yay!
You're mixing up different shows.
Oh, I don't know.
Uh-huh.
Oh, well, look, why am I in here?
Yeah.
Oh. You seen Creed yet?
Creed.
I ain't talking about the cool rock group everyone can't get enough of.
Uh-huh.
I'm talking about the newly released installment in the Rocky franchise.
Yes, Creed, which is about Apollo Creed's son.
Oh, yeah. See, I ain't actually seen it on account of being in the hut. But you know they got Carl Weathers' actual son to play his movie son, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, no, that's not true. I know for a fact they didn't do that. The actor who plays Apollo Creed's son is named Michael B. Jordan.
Crack IMDb much? It don't sound like you do. No, they got Carl Weathers Jr. to play him.
Carl Weathers Jr.?
Yeah, the fast food empress Mario.
Okay. Wait, what? What are you talking about?
Crack a Southwestern hamburger chain much? It don't sound like you do. Carl Weathers Jr. is the CEO of Carl's Jr. Why?
Uh-huh. Carl's Jr., the burger franchise.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
That's just one of many fun facts I have in my awesome brain.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Roy, you're still kind of beating around the matter at hand here of why you're in jail.
Okay, yeah, I guess I did get lost in a side tangent.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you remember a couple years ago when I tried to audition for Silver Linings Playbook and I was treated like an absolute utter subhuman by David O. Russell?
Yeah, well, I do remember that, and you clearly have a different version of things. I remember hearing the story from you and taking away from it that you scared him so bad. David O. Russell, the director of Silver Linings Playbook, you scared him so badly that he had to, like, call the police on you.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, he don't know good acting when he sees it, you know? Hollywood don't. And I'll tell you, anti-subtlety is lost on these Hollywood ash-olays.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Ash-olay. Okay.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah,
I know even though you're on the internet, you're still super uptight about people cussing.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Well, we try to do it as a show that's not just obscenity-laced.
Oh, like the Bradys.
Why, was that obscenity-laced?
No, I'm saying it's like that was a family show. Your show's a family show, too.
Well, not
like that guy Dave Hill's show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No. Well, his has a curse right in the title of it.
It does, yeah. Dave Hill's MF, 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 ASS show.
I don't know if that's the title, Roy. I think it's the goddamn Dave Hill show.
What, are you having a smoker's convention over there?
Well, Dave's here, and he's listening, and he's...
He's there?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Hello, Dave.
Hello.
I'm super nervous. I ain't never been so nervous to talk to someone on the radio ever.
Uh-huh. You're talking to Dave Hill.
Oh, my God.
Well, how do you know Dave Hill, Roy?
Well, I started listening to WFMU when he went on the air.
Okay. Oh, so wait, that's not true, though.
It is?
No, you called my show for a good 9 years.
When?
During the run of the best show on WFMU.
Oh, I thought that was one long tedious dream.
One long what?
Tedious dream?
One long tedious
like
dream.
Like a nightmare, yeah.
Sure. Just an endless nightmare that wouldn't stop. And when I left and then Dave started doing the show, then you woke up from the nightmare?
I did, yeah. And then it was heaven from there on out until I ended up in the hut.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I didn't tell you how I got in here, did I?
No, you still didn't say how you ended up in jail.
Okay. So look, anywho, one day I get word that they're going to be shooting a Creed scene at Johnny Brenda's. Have you been there?
Yes, I have. It's a very small club in Philadelphia.
It is indeed. It's so small, in fact, it was voted worst tiny stage to be on when crippling diarrhea strikes in Polestar magazine.
I didn't even know there would be a category in any sort of contest.
Yes, Maxwell's used to get it.
Uh-huh, okay.
Yeah.
So now Johnny Brenda's has it locked up.
It is, yes. So yeah. I show up at Johnny B's under the guise of being a dolly grip.
Mm-hmm.
See, Tom, in showbiz parlance, a dolly grip is the guy who's in charge of keeping tabs on whatever dolls are being used in the production. By keeping them in a giant pair of vice grips.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard, Roy.
Maybe you're the dumbest thing I ever heard.
A dolly grip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think it is?
A dolly grip works with the equipment for the lighting and the production.
Yeah, lighting those dolls.
No, it's not about Roy, it's not a...
Yeah, it's like that film that Karen, remember Karen Black was in the film? It was called, oh man, it had three parts and her part was called The Leg Stabber Doll.
It was a movie called Trilogy of Terror.
What?
Yeah. And hers was terrifying.
Yeah.
There was like a little doll that was chasing her around.
Yeah, you know who played the doll?
Who?
Herbie Villachez.
That's no, the doll was very small.
No, he was saying, the legs, and he was stabbing him.
No, he did not, Hervé Villachez did not play the doll in Trilogy of Terror.
Okay. We could agree to disagree on that all night.
Sure.
I guess
one of us could probably crack IMDb.
Yeah, I don't got no, got no internet access in here, right?
That's right. Well, Roy, I gotta say that dolly grip thing is the dumbest thing I've ever heard you say.
Okay, fair enough. Well, look, so... Oh, wait.
Yeah?
Now it's making sense. I think this is why the director, Ryan Coogler, he looked at me so weird when I demanded to see Rocky's Dollhouses.
Rocky's Dollhouses.
Yeah.
So, you're on set.
Yeah.
Pretending to be a member of the crew.
Yeah.
And you're asking And you heard, so I'm assuming you heard that there was a position called dolly grip, and then you interpreted it however you figured it must be some sort of person who holds on to the dolls.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I seen it at the end of that movie Night Shift.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that? This is Chuck reminding Bill to shut up. Is that what it was?
You're making Night Shift. Okay.
Remember Night Shift?
Yeah, it's the Michael Keaton movie.
No, it's the Fonzie movie.
Well, no, that's Henry Winkler.
Who?
The guy who played Fonzie.
Yeah, Windbreaker Man from Happy Days.
Windbreaker Man, yeah. So,
look, anyway.
So you're on set.
Yeah.
And you're asking to see Rocky's dollhouses.
Yeah, right. And they're acting like I'm nuts. Can you believe it?
I you know what? I can believe it.
They're acting like I'm sketchy. Me, sketchy, right?
Who could have thunk it, huh?
Right, yeah. So, right? So I'm getting the vibe, so I just kind of melt back into the background. Mm-hmm. You know, like that Bob Dylan song where he tells that woman, babe, to go melt back into the night. Remember that?
He tells what?
It ain't me, babe. Remember that song? Go melt back into the night.
Go melt back. Okay.
Oh, my God. You don't know. You have a radio show and you don't know Bob Dylan?
Okay, I'll take your... I know plenty of Bob Dylan. I didn't know the line, melt back into the night.
Fun fact.
Yeah.
The babe in his song...
Yeah.
...is the same babe in the Stick song, babe. It's true. But she's not the same lady in the Stick song, lady. That was Carol Channing.
Wait, hold on. So Sticks, when Sticks did the song, lady...
Yes.
...that's about Carol Channing?
It is, yes.
That's insane.
Remember her song, I Love Shticks?
Wait, what did she say?
I Love Shticks.
Carol Channing loves sticks?
Yeah, remember that song, I Love Shticks?
I have no idea what you're talking
about. You got a lot of music lessons to learn.
Yeah, well, you know, I guess you're always learning.
Always teaching. You're my student for life. Okay, let me get back to business at hand, all
okay,
right?
Yeah,
okay,
please.
So, when it's time for Adonis Creed, that's not too much of a look-at-me name for a parent to give a child, is it?
Adonis Creed.
Adonis Creed,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, no, that is very look at me.
It is. It's like it's up there with Coltrane or Miles or, oh my God, Joe Morello Jr. He was a classic drummer. He played with Dave Brubeck.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Anyway, but again, I digress. In this scene, Adonis Creed, he comes into Johnny Brenda's.
Yeah.
And he sees his super hot new neighbor singing. And he's really impressed. And it's like, if he don't want to make the beast with two backs with her already, he certainly does now, right?
Ew.
What?
Your phrasing is gross.
Oh.
It's weirdly, that terminology's in the Bible. That's what I'm saying. It's weirdly traditional, but you make it seem like gross and like currently gross.
I put a little bit of that Ziegler slime on the end of it.
Yes. Yeah. It had a little bit of that Ziegler slime on it.
Yeah. So people are dancing during this scene, right?
Uh-huh.
And they pan across the crowd. Tom, panning means that they sweep across the crowd with the camera?
No, I'm fully aware of that, yeah.
Okay. So as they're shooting it, I just slide into the line of people who were being filmed, right? They're reacting to the music.
Yeah.
And right after the camera hits me, I hear someone yell, "Cut!"
Okay, and then what happened?
Well, I was just doing my normal reacting to music thing that I do.
Yeah. Oh, so you made them say cut. What were you doing? What was your reacting to, your normal reacting to music that would make them say cut?
Well, my wife Rhoda describes it as the cross between Raj from What's Happening Doing the Robot and Stephen Hawking at a CBGB's hardcore matinee in 1985.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm watching the Cro-Mags.
Yeah, so imagining Raj from What's Happening doing the robot and imagining Stephen Hawking, what, stuck in the pit at CBGB's?
At a Cro-Mag show, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And also I was doing that tongue between your fingers thing at the camera.
Oh, God. That's disgusting. Roy.
So I get thrown off the set. Can you believe that?
Yeah, yeah, I can completely believe that. That's as believable as it gets, actually.
Well, so I end up doing what any sane person would do after that.
Mm-hmm. Any sane person?
Yeah.
Well, any sane person would probably go home.
Right.
And kind of think long and hard about what they did and maybe yeah. chalk that up to a like experience and consider it a life lesson.
Yeah, I didn't do none of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, here's what I did do.
What?
I drove my dune buggy through the front doors, and I did multiple half donuts on the dance floor, because it's so small, until several security guards put me in head, body, and leg locks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and I sit here, American justice at its peak, right?
Yeah. Well, Roy, I gotta say, that is American justice at its peak. You should be in jail. You easily could have maimed or even killed somebody. You're driving your dune buggy into Johnny Brenda's?
Yeah, I had my helmet on at least.
Well, I'm not concerned about you.
Oh, you mean I could have killed other people?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I never thought about that.
Mm-hmm. You never thought about that?
No.
Yeah.
Never entered my mind for a second.
Uh-huh.
Huh.
Well,
yeah.
Maybe it
so should
have.
I'm in here, and you know what the worst part is?
What's that?
I can't go to the show you and the guy who looks like he's in a Teardrop Explodes tribute band are doing Sunday at Union Transfer in Philly.
Yeah, yeah. We're doing a show down in Philadelphia at Union Transfer this Sunday.
I heard all about it, and you guys are really doing it. I heard this show is selling tickets like hotcakes. Mm-hmm.
Yes, the tickets are selling very well. It's a big place. But the tickets are selling really well for the show. It's really exciting.
Is it going to sell posters there?
Yes, we have posters. Neil Numberman did these posters we're going to sell.
Oh, my God.
We'll be signing them after the show.
Good Lord.
Mm-hmm.
That's really cool. And then to top it all off, you two get nominated for a Grammy today for that cool box set you put out this year.
Yeah, well, that actually, Roy, that didn't happen. We did not get nominated for a Grammy for comedy album or for packaging, any of the thing like that for the box set.
Oh, well, those people there must know what they're doing. I mean, they did have the foresight to give A Taste of Honey Best New Artist over Elvis Costello and the Cars back in 1978, mm-hmm. right?
Well, I guess that shows, that makes me feel a little better because we worked so hard on this thing and it's a really embodies so much work throughout our lives, and then so maybe the Grammy thing isn't as important as I thought it was.
Oh, I wouldn't worry about it, right?
No, I guess I can't. Wait.
Oh, no.
What?
Oh, no.
What's going on?
Oh, my God.
What?
They've run out of coconut cream tasty cakes, and the prisoners are running riot.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. I'm going to see if I can get the warden's car keys away from them.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh. Oh, no! Oh, my God.
Roy?
The tasty cakes is flying.
Roy.
Oh, my haunches.
Your haunches?
My haunches have been riddled.
Is that a laser?
Show.
I think I heard a laser in there. Roy, does anybody have a laser gun?
My haunches now. That hurts real bad.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, Roy... Okay. Wow. Okay. So, wow. I guess that ends... That might be the end of Roy. Roy Z. That might be the end of Philly Boy Roy. Hey, Mike? So I guess the headline here, outside of Roy, I think, dying, is that you're going to be in Philadelphia. You'll be at the show. You'll be there. You'll be in the building. this Sunday. Are you the only one coming down from the crew? The whole crew. Oh, I don't know if that's good or bad. You know, and that's great. It's great. So Dudio's coming. You're coming?
Yeah.
Dudio will be there. Pat Byrne, you coming? Wow. They're all there. The A-team is on the premises. Right? Who am I in the A-team? I'm Hannibal?
Yeah.
Right? George Peppard. Yeah. Then AP Mike is the, like, Mr. T. B-A-Y-O-N-N-E. Baracus. Dudio, you're what?
Murdoch.
He's not Face, right?
Yeah.
No, that's Pat Byrne, the trickster. Right? Dave Hill, how are you?
Great.
Are you having an all right time?
Oh, yeah.
It's so great
I'm
to
having
have
a
you.
Great time.
It's so great to have you here.
It's an honor to be here.
Well, it's an honor to have you here. And it was so much fun doing your show last night.
Thanks for doing it. I had a blast. I hope you did.
I did. I loved it. And people can hear that on the WFMU archives.
Yes.
The goddamn Dave Hill show.
People sent cookies in, especially for that episode.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Two different people.
Yeah.
Sent cookies. And then Danny D brought cookies.
He brought his store-bought cookies.
No, thanks.
No, but I'm not going to put him. Look, sure he got the bronze that night when in the Cookie Olympics.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what I didn't like? I'll tell you what I didn't like. The echo on AP Mike's voice stopped for a second. I meant he was right outside the door. Oh, brother. Best show. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Dave. This is the Gregulator.
The Gregulator.
Oh, wow.
You know the Gregulator?
Yeah.
Dave? For people listening who don't know who this guy is, and I'm amazed he hasn't told us about it yet because he's pretty self-promoting. He is comedian Greg Gethard.
Yes.
And he is the brother of comedian Chris Gethard, the nationally known Gethard.
Yes.
Right?
I'm more regionally known.
Yeah, you're more of a regional guy.
Yeah, I haven't had my breakout national moment quite yet. No TV show for me yet, you know, or anything in the works, just... I'm just strictly a regional name, you know, but I'm reaching for those stars, Tom.
You're going for it. And I'm shocked that you didn't name drop your brother you went 90 seconds without saying, my brother is Chris Gethard.
It was hard. It's hard. I'm trying to learn restraint with not mentioning, Chris Gethard, who's in, Chile right now. He's in the country of Chile right now.
Why?
With his wife. They're on vacation there or something like
that. Wow.
That's nice.
Yeah.
I like that you pronounce it Chile.
Yeah.
Like you, Dave
Hill.
Like a local. Dave Hill. I am a man of the world.
Like a local.
Yeah.
Chile.
I sound exactly Chilean. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Chile.
It was like, wait a minute. I thought this guy was from New Jersey.
I don't understand.
Santiago.
What do you know my friend? Or like French people or whatever. They don't just say, could I please have a hamburger?
Yeah.
And then go back to their French accent.
Yeah.
This, I don't know why I'm going on.
Uh-huh. No.
Letting this out, this rage.
This
out on your show.
Xenophobic rage.
Well, no, it started off, it's just more, you know, I try to maintain a Cleveland accent at all times.
And what would be a Cleveland accent?
This one.
But it doesn't sound like an accent.
This is a fancy Cleveland accent, you know.
What would be?
Private boys school,
then
Cleveland.
What is a common, normal Joe Lunch Pail guy?
Riff-raff Cleveland accent.
Yeah.
I don't even know if I could do it. It's more, I guess I'm told it's like a heart more, I had an apple. That's it. Nailed it.
You
see what I did to the A? An apple.
You had an ample?
Apple.
An apple.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a Chicago a little bit.
Yeah, it's because it's just down, you know, because Chicago is basically super Cleveland.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's just more, you know.
Sure. So you look at Chicago as like...
It's a lateral move.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In every way.
And you had an ample.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
But Greg...
But I rid myself because I had a... I saw, you know, I knew what was ahead.
Mm-hmm.
So I trained myself.
My friend Marcia Sparky Pop, who helps with all the web stuff I do, she makes fun of me because she says I have this New Jersey accent that I don't think I have a super strong New Jersey accent.
I don't think so.
But she'll be like, because I'll say like water rather than water.
I'll go door number one on that every time.
Yeah, water. But she's from Ohio.
Where?
Dayton.
Oh, pff. Monsters.
Dayton. What are the things? Because there's Cleveland, Cincinnati, and Dayton would be the primary three. No, Akron.
Akron.
Is outside of, is
there's
closest
Toledo.
To Cleveland, right?
Do we say Columbus?
We did not.
But Ohio is not one of those places like, where we're like, yeah, we're Ohioans. Mm. Everyone in Ohio hates each other.
Yeah.
Everyone in Cleveland, they're like, there's no allegiance. Like, oh, people are always like, oh, well, do you like the Columbus hockey team?
Yeah.
Like, no, why would I like them? What's that have to do with anything?
Yeah. You don't look at it as a statewide thing.
No.
All.
I mean, there's some people in Cleveland that like Ohio State, there'll be an OSU game and they'll be excited. And I never understood that at all.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that's about. But no, there's no, I think Cleveland, Akron, and Toledo should just pool the resources and see if they can't take out Chicago.
Sure. And just become like an Uber.
Just the best of the okay.
The best of the okay. So
I love Cleveland though. I do.
Well, of course you love Cleveland.
Love. Not crazy about Columbus.
What about
Cincinnati?
Cincinnati, no.
No, not at all. There's some good stuff in Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
Some good bands and stuff.
Yeah, Ron House is from Columbus, right?
Yeah.
Gaunt were from
Gaunt.
Columbus. So many great bands.
And then Royal Crescent Mob, do you remember them?
That was that kind of, they were like the Red Hot Chili Peppers of the Midwest.
Yeah, no. See, that's what people said, Biz, but that's... no offense.
Okay. No, please.
Well, when I go back and listen to it, I understand
why
that. But when I was a teenager, I was like, why would anyone say that?
Yeah. And then now you go back and you're like,
I'm like,
okay. Like, I think that guy slapping the bass might have been why people thought it was like that.
Yeah, but I'm still...
Sure.
Happy Chichester is the guy you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
He played keyboards and Afghan wigs and Twilight Singers.
Okay.
Had a band called Howlin' Maggie.
Mm-hmm. Afghan wigs were from?
Cincinnati.
Cincinnati. So you look at them, they might as well have been from Mars as far as
nothing.
You were concerned.
I mean, Cleveland was, you
and
know.
And it's the funniest thing because in New Jersey, people would be like, if a thing happens in New Jersey... It could be at the top of the state or the bottom of the state, and people, unless you're so close to Philly that you identify as a Philadelphian, where you get these people that are like, hey, I'm from Philadelphia. You're like, where do you live? Like, Cherry Hill, New Jersey. It's like, well, no, that's, you live in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. You're not from Philadelphia.
Yeah, that's like someone in Louisville, Kentucky or whatever saying they live in Cincinnati.
Yeah. You don't want to hear it. Yeah.
Or is it Lexington, Kentucky?
Lexington, okay.
One of the Kentucky cities.
That's close to.
Across the river.
Sure. But yeah, New Jersey on the whole, people would be totally into like anything that happened in New Jersey. It'd be like, when everybody was high on Chris Christie, they're just like, he's our governor and he rules the whole state. Nobody was like saying he belonged to Trenton.
No, Ohio is the most divided. Forget it.
Gregulator.
Tom.
What's going on, Chief?
Well, I know I wanted to bring up something involving the best of both worlds. Of my favorite time, I saw two worlds collide at once. And it was, I went
some
to,
dumb
wrestling
thing you're going to talk about.
No, it's what even dumber. It involves a Renaissance fair.
What did you see? Hillbilly Jim fight someone?
No, there was no, there were no, wrestlers. Shockingly, there was no wrestling involved with this.
Okay.
I went to, a Renaissance fair a few years ago, the Pennsylvania State Renaissance Fair.
Okay.
And, I got off the Pennsylvania Turnpike and I turned onto the road to get to the parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to go down like 4 miles.
Yeah.
On some state highway.
Yeah.
And a woman had a blown out tire and she was on the shoulder lane and a knight was changing her tire for her.
That's cool.
That's the very definition of chivalry.
That's
right
what
there.
Exactly. Yeah, it was so great. I'm so glad that chivalry was alive and well that day. And I think it was the best of both worlds,
that's
you know, the best of medieval times and the best of today.
Now, Greg Elater, what do you think of these people who go to a Renaissance fair dressed in Star Trek outfits and they pretend that they were beamed down into the past?
This happens?
Yeah.
No, it can't happen. You got to be kidding me. Like, that's a thing?
I think it is a thing.
Oh, my God, that's the greatest thing I've ever heard of, and I'm shocked I actually haven't
I'm surprised you haven't done it.
In that.
I'm surprised you didn't invent that. All you do is cause trouble. Greg Elater, yeah. Remember the time you did that show at an open mic comedy thing?
And I got banned, that
yeah,
one?
Yeah.
Wait, what happened?
I'm banned from the Helium Comedy Club in Philadelphia.
Yeah, give us a quick version of this story.
Well, I used to, as an Ohio native, Dave Hill, I'm sure you know who LeBron James is, and he used to start,
sure.
He still does start his games by throwing baby powder in the air
sure.
in an elaborate setting.
Yeah.
I used to start my stand-up comedy set throwing baby powder in the air like LeBron James. And,
I can get behind that.
Yeah, but bar owners usually don't. And I was in the Philadelphia's Funniest stand-up contest, and they had to refund 8 drinks because the baby powder got in all these drinks.
Mm-hmm.
And I was disqualified from the contest and banned from performing there in the future as a result.
Okay, you're not. I think you're simplifying things a little bit, though. The powder didn't just get in a few drinks.
I got in 8 drinks. 8. That's not a few. I got in 8 drinks.
No. You threw the powder. Did it go into like a vent?
Yeah, I mean, it's apparently the baby powder. Like this was like almost 10 years ago.
This is what you're. Let me say this is how you're. I'm going to say this. Your brother told me the real version of the story.
Okay.
You're telling about 1/5 of it. And look, you know I love you, buddy.
Oh, you're the best. Yeah,
and this story only makes you a better person, I think. You said, and correct, like point by point, stop me if I'm wrong.
Okay.
You said, hey, they're holding this open mic thing, and they're being snobby about it. True or false?
Yeah. No, wait. Is he talking about something completely? I might be mixing up stories.
You're mixing up stories.
Wait, you're mixing up your own story?
Yeah, he's mixing his own story.
I think I am.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Greg, your story, because your brother told me this when I saw him a month ago at a Knicks preseason game. It took about half the game to tell, and it was one of the most entertaining things I've ever heard. You go, hey, they're holding this open mic comedy thing at this club in Philadelphia. It's snobby and they're excluding people, so I'm going to get on the bill and ruin it. True or false?
I mean, I've done that many times.
Yeah. So it's just true or false? True or false?
Oh, yeah, that's true. I don't know what specific time.
So then you go to the show and you do your LeBron James baby powder, tossing it, because he tosses it in the air, he claps his hands,
mm-hmm.
but it goes into the air conditioning, into like a vent, and then shoots out onto the audience.
Yeah. It circulates all the dramatic effect.
Yeah. 8 drinks. You made it sound like 8 drinks. You'd be like, yeah, okay. You could open your wallet and cover the cost of 8 drinks. Let me just continue.
Mm-hmm.
Then the club owner started screaming at you, and you had to get on your hands and knees during the show and wipe down the stage.
Well, yeah, I mean, I did that at every open mic where I did the baby powder bit. I made sure I mopped up afterwards.
Yeah. And everybody's sitting there watching you.
He's like a Buddhist monk.
He's like a you're like Loki, right?
the evil Norse god.
Yeah, like a chaotic elf.
It sounds like a triumph. Did you win the contest?
No, I was disqualified and banned from performing at that venue ever again.
Those two things aren't mutually exclusive.
Yeah. No, you won the contest.
I mean, I won the hearts and minds.
Yeah.
I won the hearts and minds battle, but I didn't win the $200 gift certificate or whatever the prize was.
No one's going to remember that guy, though.
There's still people talking about the night they went to a comedy club and some dolt
idiot
did the LeBron James thing, and then the club owner started screaming at him, and then the guy had to come back out and wipe down the stage
to get all the
powder back off the floor.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You've made that 20 years from now people will still be saying, "Hey, Grandpa, tell the story about the thing when you went to that show and some moron threw powder, and then you guys watched the idiot have to mop it up
while you were like coughing and needed an inhaler."
But then, baby powder infecting your
sinuses.
Yeah, basically, you gave him white lung disease.
Did right? you do any material, or was it just?
what was your set list?
It was essentially my whole bit was like a 5-minute introduction. That was it. It was just me introducing myself like the Chicago Bulls used to introduce Michael Jordan. Just this elaborate introduction, and then I would leave and then clean up.
So you had that Alan Parsons Project song?
Serious? No, I didn't have the song. It was just on the stage. Coming down to the stage from Roxborough, Philadelphia. It was just like a lot of that kind of stuff.
I'm going to say this, though, as a sidebar, Greg. You got to see the grimy dude who is the announcer for the Nets. This dude...
Uh-oh.
He looks like that guy from Faith No More, like the guitarist.
Oh, Big Jim Martin? The original guitarist?
No, the one with the dreads.
Oh,
yeah, the original with the long...
The dude really thrashing his dreads in We Care A Lot, in the We Care A Lot video.
Exactly, and he'll just be at this Nets game, and he's like, "All right, Brooklyn!" And they put his picture on the... It's like they put him on the Jumbotron, screaming at the crowd. I've never seen an announcer put on a Jumbotron. He's like, "It's time to support Brooklyn. Let's hear it for the Nets. Like, get on your feet and show some, you know." They've got people, the Nets are so bad, they just tell people to cheer for Brooklyn now. Like, the city that you will be in when you leave the arena after watching this terrible basketball team lose.
Tom, I was at the Sixers-Spurs game last night. The Spurs, who won by 51 points.
Uh-huh.
Whoa.
And at halftime, the Sixers in-house
This guy looks
announcer.
Like Predator. Look at this guy. Right?
Oh.
He looks like the Predator. He looks like a Predator and Predator.
Related to somebody.
To Catch Predator would be the show he would be on. Like, that would be like if Predator was a Predator.
Yeah.
Of Danny D on Twitter.
Uh-oh.
This whole Nets thing in Brooklyn still makes me so mad. This guy doesn't even like basketball. What are you all twisted about? Looking to be mad.
Angriest guy I know.
Yeah. He is, right?
Danny D, yeah.
He's like a powder keg ready to blow.
Yeah.
With a smile painted on it.
I checked the news.
Yeah.
Just scanned the news for his name. Just waiting.
Yeah.
See a man in a devil's jersey popping up in your, popping with like a Martin Brodeur bobblehead doll outside your window or something like that.
Now, Greg.
Yes.
I know you have some dumb thing brewing that in the tradition of the story I just told, scares me.
Yes. On Sunday, pregame, well before your show, I am hosting the first ever Friends of Tom talent show in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And I'm asking for any Friends of Tom who are available to come to a venue in South Philadelphia called Connie's Rick Rack, which is a great venue. I once was almost bit by a raccoon in the green room there performing, while I was waiting to perform. So there's rabid animals, and there's going to be a talent show, and I am planning on spinning plates. I've never spun plates before, but I am planning on learning and mastering the art of plate spinning for the talent show.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I was calling you, Tom, is there is a fee to get into the event. It's $10, but any money we make, I'm gonna donate to me and Chris Gersbeck, who are planning it together, plan on donating the money to an FOT friendly charity. So if you have anything in mind, you know, you want to let me know. Please do. That's who will give the
awesome. Give
the funds to.
Well, that's fantastic.
Yeah. But, and it will not last 7 hours as rumored. It's going to last like an hour to 90 minutes, and then you go explore Philly, and then you head up to Union Transfer later on, and have what seems like it's going to be a wild ride.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
So yeah, that's the game plan. It starts at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Yeah, and the show, I think,
is at 8.
Yeah.
Your show.
Yes.
Yeah, 8.
Yeah.
So he's not stealing audience.
No. It still worries me. He's going to somehow.
My that's what I red flag.
He's going to do something that somehow just smears over onto our show, and suddenly then he's
people will need medical attention, it sounds like.
Yes, and then he's going to be, that's what the Gregulator does. He's like, that's what when you get the Gregulator, that's what happens. I'm like, well, I didn't get you. This was none of this was my idea. It was all you on your own.
Well, there is danger that you could be cut by plates. I'm also planning on playing if the projector at this place works, my hit internet game, Ska or Improv, for the first time live.
Mm-hmm.
If that's a selling point for people to guess if it's a ska band or an improv troupe.
Which made it onto At Midnight.
Yeah, and points for me.
Yeah, points.
Yeah.
you can get paid for that, but yeah.
No, of course not.
Your content filmed a portion of a television show. That staffs writers,
has writers and make millions of dollars, and
millions. Let's not go nuts here, Greg.
Well, whatever.
They should have thrown you an At Midnight T-shirt.
I have a few of those I could send.
Send them, please. Would you? Would you send them?
That'd help.
Because you won At Midnight twice.
I did. I have tote bags.
Who'd you beat in the final round?
The last time, I beat Eliza Coop and Max Silvestri.
Okay.
The time before that was Matt Lucas and Margaret Cho.
Okay.
And then the time before that, I lost to Morgan Murphy.
Sure.
And then the time before that, I didn't know how to work the buzzer.
Uh-huh.
So they kicked me to the curb. They shined the red light on me and I had to leave. But I still got the T-shirt then, too.
But when you're there, you usually go to the finals.
That's the idea, yeah. I mean, now I know how to. First time, I didn't know how to work the buzzer. Second time, I did a little better. Now I know how to work the buzzer. So now, I feel like I'll just win from now on.
What about the Act 3 curve, which is the...
It's a game of inches.
It's the crux. It's what the entire thing hinges on. As somebody who's watched it plenty of times.
Yeah.
The way you get to the finals, stay competitive for the first two acts.
Yeah, it's like a marathon.
First question of the third one, you got to win that one. Because the points are so much higher.
Yeah.
You win that, you go to the finals.
Yep.
And then it's anybody's game in the finals.
Then it's down to...
Because it's just whatever Hardwick
The audience cheers or something? I can't remember. I'm so caught up in the...
I think Hardwick.
The glitz and glamour. I don't know how it works. But it's, you know, it's nice. They give you cookies.
Mm-hmm.
I always have a great time.
It is nice.
Yeah.
Look, I watch that show.
I love it.
I like that guy.
Yeah, he's a delight.
I tease him a little bit, right? But he's the king.
He can handle it, yeah.
He's the king. This guy's like running it. I'm here scraping by on this thing. This is a sinking ship, Dave. The reason I brought you here was to ask for my show back. I asked to come. Can we alternate weeks at WFMU? That's why I wanted to do this.
I feel it's doable. It's doable. I could use the, I could use the time off. You know, I have a puppy, as I was telling you. You'd be doing me a favor.
What's your puppy's name?
The real name is.
Don't say the real name on the radio.
Well, I always say
it's the
radio name, because I don't want people calling her by her real name, and she'll be like, hey,
I guess
I'll get in your van. Yeah. Little Joe Franklin.
Little Joe Frank.
Because I got her right after Joe Franklin died, and I was friends with Joe.
Okay.
So it was a genuine, he lived a nice long. Anyway, not to dwell on that. But so I was calling her Little Joe Franklin, but then that was felt like a lot of work for both of us.
Yeah.
After a couple days. And then I had people calling in suggesting names, and someone suggested I call her Danzig because they knew my affinity for Danzig,
sure.
Glenn Danzig, pride of New Jersey, Lodi.
Yeah.
And then my friend Walter suggested I name her Lucifuge after the second Danzig record, like more, so it wasn't so on the nose.
Sure, yeah.
And then I said, well, that sounds good. But then I looked up what Lucifuge was, and it's like some sort of, it's the demon in charge of court in hell.
Okay.
Which, so I didn't want to. Seemed like a lot of pressure to name her after like some sort of weirdly bureaucratic demon,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So
you're a demon, but you're a
There's a lot of paperwork.
Yeah, yeah. The least fun demon.
Yeah. So
all the demons.
I just call her Lucy, L-U-C-I. But then I found the longest dog name story you probably ever heard. But also, I found out that's the most common name for female dogs.
Lucy.
All that work to get back to the most obvious dog name.
Of Lucy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I do it L-U-C-I.
Yeah.
Which is fun for both of us.
That's nice.
Yeah, we have that.
Yeah. And it's nice you have a hellhound.
She is a hellhound, yeah.
You have an actual hellhound.
Greg.
Tom.
Where can people find out information on this spectacle you're putting together?
You can, if you go, there's a...
We are, Sharpling and Worcester are, could not be more unaffiliated with the thing you're doing. I want that clear. I hope everybody has a great time at it, but...
But your hands are washed.
This is as bad as if he were to sell bootleg t-shirts in front of Union Transfer.
Absolutely. No, it is...
To my mind.
It is as sketchy as that.
Yeah. It's so sketchy. When I was on the call in, Mike said he will. Mike clearly indicated to me he will not be going to this.
No, of course,
like
he
Mike won't go.
Yeah, Mike.
That's how
kidding?
Sketchy it is.
No, Mike's not going to that thing. You think Mike's got all day? He's going to go watch you spin plates. He's going to get clipped in the head by one of your plates. He's not doing that.
Bring a Gallagher tarp.
See, I would. What'd you say? A gouger tarp?
Gallagher tarp.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought I heard. Gouger tarp's not bad because that would make sense. Broken plates.
Yeah. That you're a gouger tarp to make sure you don't get gouged.
I feel like the idea of the plates, that's like, at first I heard like raccoons backstage. I'm like, yeah, I would like to go to that place.
Mm-hmm.
But then the plate spinning, then I'm thinking, well, I don't know if I want to go to that place.
Me neither.
I would have buried that.
Yeah.
Just lead with the raccoon.
Mm-hmm.
Then you stand a chance at making some money.
Yeah.
At this same venue, someone threw a copy of my brother's book on fire at his face at a show he did there. So that could happen there, too. And also at the same show, another person later drank my brother's vomit on stage.
Mm-hmm.
So anything can happen at Connie's Rickback.
That all sounds apocryphal to me.
Wait, what? Yeah, I feel like Chris would have to play a role. Like, he would... He's a party to that crime.
Yeah, but it sounds like this guy's telling like an Aussie concert story that you tell when you're 13. But he's talking about his brother at some hole in the wall in Philly.
2 years ago.
Yeah, 2 years ago.
I mean, did you see the?
Yeah, why'd your brother vomit? Yeah. First of all,
yeah,
he did. It was a live version of the Chris Gethard show, and it was New York versus Philadelphia, mm-hmm. and the losing captain. Either I was the captain of Team Philly, and he was the captain of Team New York. And throughout the course of the event, if your team lost whatever game we played, an item got put into something called the Milkshake of Death, and it got blended all in together, and Team New York lost, so Chris had to mm-hmm. drink this concoction, and he drank it and threw it up into the blender.
Yeah. Okay.
And then some lunatic who was in the crowd for the show just topped up on the stage and chugged that. Mm-hmm. Unprovoked.
Okay.
Just
I
unprovoked on the stage.
You're odd and upsetting, and I don't know what
yeah,
to do
know.
With you.
Yeah, I know. I know. I'm a creep.
All right, look, I'll see you at the real show, not this.
Travesty.
If you,
I'm sorry to interrupt, but how did you get them to agree to even open the club that early? 1 o'clock
on a Sunday.
Someone has to get out of bed to make.
Yeah,
that's I don't know. I don't know.
That's a valid point.
I think
that
it's
is a valid
very
point.
Valid
I don't
point.
Have an answer to it. Yeah. I really that place isn't a 1 p.m. kind of venue. I don't know.
I know that. I've done shows there.
All right, yeah. Greg.
Not to brag.
We're saying goodnight.
Thank you.
All right. I'm being told to go to the hotline because one of the hottest of hot superstars is on the hotline. Television, the face of television has changed many times. And this is the latest trailblazer to change the face, whether it was Ernie Kovacs or Archie Bunker or Fonzie. The latest game changer is this guy on the phone, Nathan Fielder. Nathan,
hello,
Nathan, star of Nathan for You.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Thanks for having me back on.
Of course, I'm here. Do you know Dave Hill, Nathan?
Hi, Dave.
Hello. I love your program.
You?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, thanks, Dave. I'm good. I'm good.
Now, Nathan, I wanted to talk to you just to check back in with you because we had spoken as season three of Nathan for You had kicked off with the Best Buy episode. It was where you went up against Best Buy.
Yes.
But now, how many episodes have aired since then?
Well, that was our first, and now we've aired seven.
You've heard seven.
So six since then.
And that one,
I do the math.
It's like that might as well have taken place 20 years ago with all the insanity you've dropped on everybody since.
Yeah, I mean, if it feels that way, yeah.
But it feels like, I got to say, that Smokers episode you did, Smokers Allowed.
Yeah.
That was one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. It was like you could run Spike Jones and Charlie Kaufman out of the biz with an episode like that. Like those guys should right now be drafting new resumes.
If I am ever going through some sort of depression, which I'm not, mm-hmm. I should just call up this show every week and have you introduce me.
But you're the best. That show.
You're too sweet, Tom.
But now, is this week the finale, or are there more? Is this it?
The finale is this Thursday.
Oh my God! And look, I don't know what this thing is, but you're running these promos for it. That it makes it look like the most monumental thing that has ever happened.
In the world?
Yeah. No, in television. Look, in the world of comedy, not.
You know, this episode is, you know, I don't want to like, you know, necessarily be hyperbolic in any way. You know, I'm a fairly grounded person.
Yes.
But this episode has taken more effort and is than any episode we've ever done on the show. It's cost more money to do than any episode we've ever done, and it's probably the biggest spectacle of any episode we've done so far on the show. And there was so much happened, and there was so much to pack in that the network, Comedy Central, is allowing us to air it 3 minutes longer than a normal episode.
Oh, wow.
With limited commercial interruptions. So they're losing money to air this.
Yeah.
That's how much they believe in it.
And it's called...
They're losing 3 minutes of commercials.
Yeah. They're handing you... They're saying, Nathan...
Yes.
We believe...
They're basically taking whatever that costs in commercials,
mm-hmm.
which on our show is probably around $500, and flushing it down the toilet.
So Kent Alterman...
Just to give viewers...
Mm-hmm.
An amazing TV experience.
The full experience.
And they're... Yes, and I have to admit, there are, for letting us do this, I am deeply in love with them.
Sure.
They're very supportive of the show. Very good.
So Kent Alterman is basically taken, he has five $100 bills, and he's
right.
putting them in a toilet and flushing it.
Basically. I mean, yes, basically.
Yeah. That's the level of commitment that's going on. Kent Alterman, head of Comedy Central, opens his wallet, takes out five. Not doesn't open his wallet. Goes into the accounting department, and says, requisitions 3 minutes of Nathan For You advertising to put it in cash form.
Yeah, right?
And then they slide him five. Crisp $100 bills.
It's basically like $60 per ad for a 30-second ad.
And which ads $80. Run on it? Is it, does that opiate one where the pill is animated? You ever see that one where the woman is walking around with the opiate and she's like, but I'm constipated? And
I have not.
The pill is like her friend. It's really... It's like the most troubling thing I've ever seen in my life, where it's basically just saying, it's like, look, we're admitting that you're friends with these opiates. That's not even on the table for discussion anymore. This, you and this pill are best friends. It's now, we're going to help you with your constipation. You're hooked on opiates. We're just, you and this pill are going to die together. But... Let's figure out your constipation problem while you're poisoning yourself with basically heroin in a pill. So at that point, they don't take time. How about that Adam and Eve commercial where it's the Edna, where she's like, you don't want Edna to know what you're buying at the store. You ever see that one?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Well, but you know who has been weirdly, people have been screen grabbing and sending me that Best Buy is now advertising all over the show.
Well, that's fantastic. So you beat them down. You beat them.
Or have they beat us? I don't even know what that means. I guess they're...
You know, when these companies just do battle with each other, it just, who knows what... Who knows who wins and loses? I guess it's just in a ledger book somewhere determines.
It could be a power move on their part saying, we own you now.
Yeah, dance, right?
But, you know, there's 3 minutes left of a chance that they'll have, you know, a chance to advertise during the finale. So that's our attack back.
Yes.
Try to fit an ad in.
Yeah,
only, 6 minutes of commercials.
Yeah, you can't. It's gone. Sorry, Best Buy.
Yeah.
So this is called The Hero, right? Is that what it's called? The Hero?
The Hero.
The Hero. Yeah. Look, I don't want to know two things about it. I don't want to know two things about
it. We're not saying too much about it.
No, you shouldn't.
At this point. But it's an emotional experience, but it's also intended, I should say, you know, if you're a person that you're kind of in a point in your life where you're feeling like, I don't know if I can do anything. I don't know if I'm capable of achieving anything. And you just have that, you're in a general rut.
Mm-hmm.
After watching this episode, I feel like you will be inspired and feel renewed.
Really?
And you will feel like there possibly is hope for you.
Oh, my God. I can't wait for this.
That's my hope.
What about for a guy like AP Mike, Nathan? A guy like who, I mean, he's pretty much irredeemable is what I would say at this point.
I think that's a little harsh.
I'm not saying it's, well, maybe it is a little harsh. I apologize, Mike.
irredeemable.
I'm just saying.
Well, Mike, what do you think of that?
Mike?
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
I don't think I'm that far gone, but yeah, I'm looking for some inspiration.
He said he's not that far gone, but he could sure use some inspiration. Well, Mike, this Thursday.
Yeah.
10 p.m.?
If you're too far gone, this probably won't do anything for you.
Okay. But he's not. I don't think he is. I think he's like, he just needs that thing to kind of inspire him.
Oh, this is perfect. This is for Mike, then.
Oh. I could see why Comedy Central gave you the extra 3 minutes. If you found your target audience.
But I honestly feel, though, that, like, it is a bit weird that I'm saying that to you and on this show, because I honestly feel like you do that every week for people.
Oh, my God. You do? You really do?
Yeah.
Well,
I think people who, you know, will listen to this show and come out of it being like, no, I'm not giving up.
Well, Nathan, that means a lot to you. You know what? Look, Nathan, this show, we've been doing it for so long. It's a sinking ship. It's hemorrhaging money. It maybe was a mistake to come back. We're just at about the 1 year point. And I'm wondering if I should just put this stuff out on a blanket on St. Mark's Place. Right? Put the board out there and just call it we gave it a shot. But now this episode is being waved in front of me. Like maybe I have a puncher's chance. To just stay in.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Right?
I don't know if it's controversial to say, but I think the best show is better than it's ever been.
Oh, well, that's nice to say. I know that we didn't.
It just keeps getting better.
Well, that's sweet of you to say, Nathan Fielder. I know we certainly didn't get nominated for a Grammy for the box set that documents 15 years of our lives. Jay Moore sure did, though. Jay Moore got nominated for best. Jay Moore and Lisa Lampanelli got best comedy album nominations for whatever thing they recorded. Can you imagine it, listening to a Jay Moore stand-up album? How many times does he do his Christopher Walken impression on that thing? At some point, Christopher Walken's got to be like, "You got to give me co-credit on this thing. You're doing me for half the album." Like Dick Vitale, and they all have to put a class action lawsuit together. Speaking of which, Nathan, you go up against big businesses. Dave Hill wrote a song with his band, Valley Lodge. And then, no joke, it's up on AV Club, wrote about it today.
Yeah.
Google ripped it off for an ad. And the song that Dave Hill wrote, John Oliver uses as his theme for his HBO show. And Google straight up took the same song and just played it on like a ukulele or something. Like they did like a cutesy pie version of it.
Yeah, like some hopeful, like life is going to be okay. But
it's
totally
true. Different
trip.
Than the Have Big Fun song?
That's the thing. They did it to me also. It's like Google, isn't this the weirdest thing that Google is ripping off? I did a show on WFMU. Dave Hill took over that time slot after I left. Google has ripped both of us off now with things.
Yeah.
It's a weird pattern. What's going on?
What if, you know, I'd like to go to a place of paranoia as quickly as possible. And I thought, like, what happens? Probably by tomorrow, we could Google ourselves and nothing would come up. They'd erase our existence in their search engine.
Like, that's right. How Google would handle it.
Yeah. Bring the hammer down.
Yeah.
Yeah, they could totally, like, if they could have people, when they search for you, they take all the worst stuff and bring it to the front.
Yeah.
Take public opinion against you.
Yeah, and just be, yeah, exactly. Like when you, if you type your name in, and then suddenly the first thing that comes up after it is like public indecency. And you're like, wait, I don't have a public but they just make it so that's the autocomplete. Like, and then they just send you a thing. It's like, hey, we can change that. You want that to stop, right? It would just be like, arrest. It would say, like, you type in Tom Sharpling, arrest pops up as the first thing. Actually, I could.
You definitely know that the people at Google, like, they wouldn't say it on the record, but when they're at a bar after work.
Yeah.
Or just, you know, a couple of the top execs, you know, alone with each other. You know, they probably look at each other and are like, you know, we could, like, own the world and destroy everyone.
Yeah.
Like, if we wanted to, at this point.
At this point.
We have everyone's information. We could control everything.
At this point, Google, if corporations are people, Google is like a peeper, like a neighborhood, like a person who stares in windows at night.
Yeah.
Right? That's all Google is. It's like a librarian. It's like someone who was known for being a librarian at one point and having all this information for you, but who now is much more interested in staring in your staring in your window and looking at the toilet cam they set up at the library.
Right. There's someone who looks in your window all night and looks at you in the toilet after you've told them it's okay for them to do that.
Yeah. Well, you're going to the library.
What's the library metaphor?
Well, because the toilet cam set up in the library. It's a librarian.
Well, how did you establish that earlier? Or is that
yes, it's a library. Google once was a kindly.
Oh, I get it.
Google was once a kindly old librarian helping just give you information that you needed, but then suddenly it's like, wow, you're the best librarian ever. And then it's like, then Google was alone in its office in the library and was just like, maybe it's time for me to set that toilet cam up.
Right. Once it has all the,
yeah.
Once it has all the people going
yeah.
to the library bathroom.
This is so stupid.
Then,
oh.
I think that's a great metaphor.
It tracks. It really does track. And it's pretty concise and easy to explain to others.
It sums up exactly what's happened to
us. Yes, what has happened to us. Well, Dave Hill and I both used the bathroom at the library.
Yeah.
And we spotted the camera.
And then the camera is now following us out of the bathroom everywhere.
Exactly. Well, the camera took pictures of our credit card and started using.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm done with this, man. I can't keep this thing off on its. It's like spinning plates, like that. Like Chris Gethard's brother is going to do a show spinning plates this Sunday. He was just lecturing everybody about that, Nathan. Neither here nor there. The important
thing.
What do
you mean?
John Worster and I are doing a live show in Philadelphia this Sunday.
Oh, okay.
So naturally, before that, Chris Gethard's brother Greg decided he's doing a show that starts at 1 p.m., a talent show that is comprised of listeners of this show doing different talents on stage, headlined by him spinning plates on stage for the first time ever. He's going to try it in front of an audience for the first time ever.
Wow.
If that doesn't sound reckless, I don't know.
And that seems... I don't know. Is he going to practice before?
No, he's going to do it live.
Okay.
Sounds like an invitation for a nice shard of glass to Please bring goggles to that show if you're going to it. I'm going to ask listeners to go get goggles if you're going to go check that variety show out. But the show you really should check out this Thursday, the season finale of Nathan For You, season 3, The Hero. From 10 p.m. Yes. to 10:33.
No, I believe they're just.
Oh, they're just running three less ads. Okay. So they're not.
That's
gotcha.
The whole thing about the throwing away the money.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Yeah. Yes. Then it makes sense. I never said
but
I was.
I believe it's still 10 to 10:30, but you'll have less commercials than you normally get. Less commercial breaks, too.
Sure. That's what you meant by limited commercial interruption. Yes.
Yes.
Okay. 100% with you.
Yes, it's one of the most confusingly marketed finales.
But people are going to thrill and be inspired by this.
I hope so. But you know, when you put stuff out there, you really don't know what people are going to say.
I think I can't wait, and I congratulate you on you have a platform and you're doing something with it, Nathan. You're making special television for people, and I tip my hat to you. And everybody who works on Nathan For You.
Yeah, we. I feel lucky that they are allowing us all to do this.
So,
and there's a lot of people like that worked really hard to do this stuff. Mm-hmm. So, you know how it is.
And I'm ready. I'm ready for it.
Thank you for Tom. I do want to say formally for constantly being a supporter. And saying always nice things.
Oh, it's only because the show's good. All right, Nathan.
Well, I'll know when the quality dips then. When
suddenly it's like, yeah, this guy's certainly not answering these calls anymore. That's weird. That's weird. A fair amount of unreturned emails. Yeah. So, or they just start bouncing back. But it's clear I'm writing the stuff that says it's
right.
Back.
The return messages. Yeah.
Like I would do that like a long time ago. I used to do that when listeners would, because people would write and say that the show sucked, the best show sucked. And I would write back, thank you for, like, this is a form letter. Thank you for being a fan of the show. Tom can't answer all your email. Can't answer all the fans' emails personally. But he wants to thank you for listening to the show. Keep listening. But it's like, it would show up like 14 hours later. Like no automated reply shows up the next afternoon. Nathan, can't wait for the show. I will talk to you soon.
Thanks again, Tom.
Have a great night.
Bye.
Bye. Nathan Fielder. It's a star-packed show. Dave Hill. Dave Windorf. Nathan Fielder, right?
Gregulator.
Okay. The stars. That's a star further back than, like, if all the stars are packed, then one star has to get kind of pushed back by all the stars, right? Like packing.
Yeah, otherwise you can't see his bright light.
Yes. Best show, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom, how's it going?
Going good. Who's this?
This is Z-Man.
Oh. Keeping the thing alive. Gregulator called in. And now the Walliner version of Greg. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, come on.
No, just because you're a brother. Because your brother.
Yeah, I know. I get
look,
it.
Your brother is Jason Walliner.
Yep.
Is it Walliner or Walliner? How do you like to say it?
I think we go with Walliner.
Yeah, that's what I say.
Yeah.
He's a director reputable. Reputable guy. One of my all-time favorite people on the planet.
He's a delight. I know Jason.
Hi, Dave. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good, thanks. Sorry in advance if I don't necessarily have the most to say to you. I'm only so familiar.
Okay. It's okay. We're in this together.
weirdly blunt, but let's.
No, well, I need to be fair. I needed to be put in my place.
Z-Man, you know I'm teasing you, buddy.
Okay,
you can't win.
Yeah.
You're in the octagon, buddy. You can't. You're blindfolded in the octagon. You know how it goes.
I know all too well. I've seen too many octagons in my day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're the guy who, with this show, it's like you go back up to the thing. It's like, really? You're coming back to the octagon? Like, hey, dude, you got out of the octagon. You barely got out with your life. You're coming back, huh?
I was trying to make a joke, but I guess I put it out.
And then you're like, yeah, I figured I'd see what's going on in the octagon again. It's like, yeah, you got pretty brutalized the last time you were in the octagon. And you're just like, man, I figured I'd check in, see what's going on in the octagon. But then the thing is, you win a fair amount.
Like, I don't know, I've lost track of the record.
Like, remember I said, Mike, last week that I would give out some T-shirts, like a prize pack to whoever had the best fun pack.
Oh, God, yes, go there.
No, Mike's idea of a fun pack
is
different than mine. Mine would have, like, T-shirts in it and stickers and stuff.
Fun things.
Yeah, fun things. Mike's referring to the shrink-wrapped... the skin mags that he buys.
Oh, the three pack.
Yeah, three pack. And I've never heard somebody talk more about that middle magazine in the because this guy's got his
leg show.
I don't know, Dave. I don't know.
I'm just guessing. I don't know either.
Mike, I'm not getting into this, but is Dave close when he says leg show?
TV, what?
A TV. You did not get a TV guide.
Oh, they just fill it out for weight, then. The middle magazine is just drag it to the register.
Because this is what Mike does. He goes, and they have these shrink-wrapped three skin mags. And he's like, you can see what's on the cover of one, and you can see what's on the cover of the other side, but the one in the middle is trapped in there, and God knows what that thing is going to be. And Mike's claiming that one of them was a TV guide once. What was on the cover? TV guide, was it the Jeffersons? Like a weird old TV guide? Lonnie Anderson was on the cover.
What?
How small was this pack, Mike?
The shrink wrap was really tight.
The shrink, oh God. The shrink wrap was really tight. Z-Man.
Hey.
So what I was saying.
Yeah.
I thought you maybe won that thing.
I mean,
Either you. Is make me laugh. Either you or the guy who called with the David Crosby anecdote.
I don't know. I think you made yourself laugh more, and it was just, gave you something to laugh at.
Whoever the David Crosby guy was, get in touch with me because you won. I'll send you some stuff. So what's going on, bro?
Not too much. I wanted to call.
Spoken out.
What?
Nothing. Go ahead.
Over the weekend, a really wonderful, momentous occasion happened. I know it goes against your prior suggestion of putting this off for quite some time. But I introduced my daughter, Penelope, to Wally Wackerman. And it went over better than I could have imagined.
Z-Man. Oh, yeah? Z-Man. For people who don't know, this guy made a puppet. How long did it take you to make this Wally Wacky Man puppet?
Much longer than it should have. I kind of put it off here and there.
And it's purple.
Yep.
And it's got like a tuft of hair on the top of the head, right?
But I originally planned to have hair, but he doesn't have any hair.
It's got googly eyes, right?
Sure, typical puppet type of eyes, yeah.
And then the voice, how would you best describe the voice?
Sort of like an exaggerated, cartoonish, sort of like cliched old Jewish person kind of thing.
Okay.
But not in a negative way. We all know that. It's not a not mean-spirited. I am Jewish, and it's just reflecting that.
Sure. Just, you know. Yes, and you look at this puppet as being the first Jewish puppet.
I don't know if it's the first technically.
Now, were you hurt when you found out Gary the squirrel was Jewish also? Did you feel that that stepped on when Julie Klausner?
It seemed a little bit like, okay, all right, Julie, all right.
When Julie Klausner
was Wally's whole thing here, but sure, yeah, you give that to Gary, thanks.
Mm-hmm. So, you introduced your daughter, who's how old?
She's 9 months right now.
And did you put the puppet on your hand and start screaming in her face? How did this go down?
I'm screaming. I sort of, you know, I put him on and came around the corner, you know, into our living room with him. Just kind of, you know, started having him talk to her and, you know, then get a little closer. And she, you know, got it brightened up, big smile, started laughing. And it was just, it was a really, really great moment and, you know, very reassuring for me because actually, to be honest, last week when I tried to call, I was going to ask after well, I meant to call for a while, but then you had no Duke Denver and everything. But just after, speaking of Julie, when you were talking to Julie and Hayes on that one episode, which I think was the second time, I think, that you initiated a Wally Wackerman death hoax in the history of your relationship to him, I was going to ask, like, what do you think, Tom? Should I just end it? Should I just put this whole thing to rest? Because sometimes I wonder, you know, especially when you did like the worst 100, even though I know you joke and tease and all fun, sometimes it brings out people who are not afraid to say.
No, the worst 100, just to recap, because people don't know every bit of minutiae here.
Yeah.
We were putting together a list of the worst 100 characters of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And how did this impact? Was Wally Wackerman on that list?
He thankfully managed to not get on the list, but, you know, there were jokey suggestions. And then on Twitter, for instance, there were some very real, very serious suggestions, and they were suggestions directly to Wally, as if, you know, as if someone, you know, in the audience was like tweeting at Seth MacFarlane, hey, listen to this radio show where we're all saying everything you do stinks, but, you know, imagine that, where, you know, you're telling the person you are terrible. And you are
so they were saying Wally Wackerman sucked.
Yeah, in all sorts of,
Z-Man, I know this. Dave Hill knows this. Dave, people, with the criticism, how do you handle the criticism?
You know, I look at it. I'm just trying to entertain myself and hang out with my dog and hope that people will give you money to keep doing that.
Yeah.
But I read every comment on the internet.
You do?
No. No,
you don't. But you can't, right?
You can't, because there's an... I mean, even this thing, not to bring it back to the Google thing, but I thought I was done thinking about it after we talked, talked about it on my show last night, and then the AV Club called, and I talked to her for a few minutes, and then the thing came out, the AV Club thing, and then everyone's tweeting about it, and Facebook... You know, I posted it, so I'm like, everyone's talking about Facebook, but to be fair, I posted the article.
Sure.
But then a bunch of other people did, and then... Everyone's weighing in on this subject. It's kind of like you were talking about. Then I was just exhausted by it.
Yeah.
And then I was like, well, I don't want to think about this anymore. I'm arguing with someone because it's like, well, it just sounds like every other dumb indie rock riff. And it's like, and then, you know, and then I'm getting mad and I'm sorry not to drag. I'm sorry.
No.
Dragging this all the way back. But then like some band sent, they're like, well, we think you ripped it off from us. And they sent this song that actually had like, was similar, and I was like, that is similar, but it's not the same, and I've never heard of your band, and your song's from 2012, I have a demo from 2009, I'm getting all worked up, and they're like, relax, like, we're just kind of kidding around, and I was like, I know, it's just been a long, stupid day of internet comments.
Because then you become the guy who fights that stuff and is caught up in the drudgery of that.
Yeah.
And you don't get to write a song.
Yeah, and like we were talking about, I don't care. I'm just kind of like, oh, that's annoying. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
That these guys did this, you know?
It would be nice if things were more fair.
Yeah.
But, you know, I look at this with criticism. It's like, if somebody's going to say something nice about me, then that also means there can be somebody who says something bad about me. And mm-hmm. they're both, I think plenty of things are terrible. So it's actually a compliment if I'm in the discussion for somebody to think I'm terrible.
Yeah, yeah. That's exactly right. Like, you're not, until someone's telling you how horrible you are.
Yeah.
That's when you're starting to get some traction.
Exactly. So
that's what I tell myself.
Yeah. So Z-Man, the fact that you and Wally Wackyman, that some people can say, I love Wally Wackyman, he's my favorite. And then somebody else would say, I hope that garbagey piece of purple felt catches on fire and goes up like a pile of dried up newspapers, right? The fact mm-hmm. that one person can say one and the other can say the other, it means you're doing something that people are responding to.
Sure.
So you can't sweat the people who... It can't just be a love fest.
I mean, you know, when it was all compounded, you know, at once, when they were all coming out thinking, like, you were behind them, like, yeah, Tom has a point.
Look,
this character is terrible. Let's go and tell
them. Hey, Z-Man.
Yeah.
You know me in real life, right?
Oh, I do. I know. I'm saying I just...
You know who I am in real life.
Yeah.
Don't forget. Yeah, don't forget that.
Oh, okay? I'm absolutely not. I'm not putting it on you. I think they...
When I was at your wedding with your brother, right?
Yeah.
I did say to you, I'm warning you right now, if you take that bleeping puppet out during this wedding, I'm torching him. I'm going to burn him. No place at a wedding for your puppet.
That is true.
This is all snapping back into place. Now,
okay. Wait, what?
Oh, I was like, I admit to just kind of nodding along to mm-hmm. a lot of this.
Sure, sure.
And then now I know exactly who this puppet
is. Yes.
And,
yeah. He goes, hey,
yeah,
it's
now
me,
I'm
Wally Wackyman.
I'm listening from a place of great intrigue.
It just
even though I
now.
Realize we're probably done talking about it.
But this
is
the thing.
I'll be pulling this up again.
Z-Man?
Yeah.
I warned you at the wedding. I'll torch that puppet if it comes out. There's no place at a wedding for that thing. And you didn't break him out.
Yeah, but
I thought you were going to. But that's why this is the second part.
Okay.
You showed your beautiful daughter this puppet. Mm-hmm. And it sounds to me like it was an amazing thing. And I think that's awesome.
It really was, because, you know, even with the previous doubts, it's like, even if I never do another thing with him, if I make nobody else laugh, if I entertain nobody else...
Is that a
else,
promise? Wait, are you...
I'm sure people on Twitter are lighting up.
Yeah.
Do it, please,
people are like,
please.
He said he'd never do another thing with him again. No.
You had a
beautiful moment that you'll never forget.
Nope.
That's awesome. Absolutely. Congratulations, buddy.
Thank you. But can I ask a quick question?
Sure.
Even though he wouldn't be welcome at a wedding, would he be welcome at union transfer?
Oh, God. What's he going to do there?
Oh, just can I bring him along with me to keep me company on the two-hour trip and maybe say hi to him?
Okay, you just lost all the goodwill that the puppet's keeping you company on the trip?
I said that in a joking way.
Isn't it again? Hey, Wally, what should we do? I'm sure hungry. Don't have a whole lot of money on me. What's that? Should go into that house and take whatever food they've got? That old lady's got that bag of groceries. Yes, Wally, I should take the bag of groceries. She fell and hurt her head. She's bleeding all over the place. Wally, what should I do? Burn the apartment down? This guy, you're right, Wally. That's what I'll do. I think I have the bloodlust, Wally. Wally, remember that thing we did in Philadelphia? I think I want to do it again. Z-Man?
Yeah.
You're in the octagon.
Oh, boy.
You're almost out. I think you want to bring that puppet. I will not.
Is it okay if I just bring him? Yeah,
yeah,
I just want your permission.
Bring him
you're
along.
Okay.
Look, I look at that as a jacket. You know what I mean?
Split the difference. So make them the puppet pays for a ticket.
Oh, I like that.
I only bought one.
I like that. Well,
that's the best
show. Ain't sold out yet. That would make me real. Look, if you want me to acknowledge this puppet as a real being, I want to see two tickets.
That's completely reasonable.
I think that's completely reasonable.
That way,
I think,
you know, Dave, emotion doesn't play a part in this decision.
It's just finance.
Yeah.
Two, please. Right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, then the puppet has to also drinks and anything.
Yeah, drink.
Puppet has to do that.
Does he get his own seat then, or is it standing room, or how does that work?
Well, you paid for the seat.
Yeah. Look, bro. You're going to be standing during that show. There ain't no seats there.
Okay.
Just get ready. Look, you want to sit, you sit on the puppet, right? Drop the puppet on the floor. You use him as a blanket.
I don't know how well that would work. I mean, he's already getting up in years for how long these puppets last.
Well, I think, look, you bring the puppet. Maybe I'll let you know whether I want to see that thing show up or not. But okay. I just want to see your smiling face there.
Yeah, it'll mainly be me. And, you know, if it just he's there for anybody who wants to see him. That's what it really is.
Very nice.
It's not like I'm going to go, hey, let me take him out and, you know, steal attention. You know, that's
Why don't you bring him to the talent show? Why don't you bring him to that talent show?
I'm not going to be able to get there that early.
Look, bro, I'll see you on Sunday.
I'll see you. Thank you. Looking forward to it very much.
Are you
going to
buy an autographed picture of AP Mike?
Oh, how much is he charging? What are his rates these days?
I don't know what he's charging. 10, I think. Right, 10 bucks.
I'll see. I'm a big fan.
Pay what you... No, don't... All right. Thanks, buddy. I'll see you there.
Thanks.
Bye.
All right,
pay what you can afford. That's what Mike... What are you, Radiohead?
No.
Mike's like Radiohead now. It's him and Tom York. Pay what you can. Oh my God, it's noon, midnight, noon. It's midnight already. How about that? Dave Hill, I had so much fun over the last 2 days with you. Seriously.
Likewise. Thank you for coming on my show, and thanks for letting me hang out and be here tonight.
Well, let's do that more. Let's keep doing this. This would be fun.
I would love it.
This was a blast.
Speaking of the internet, what's the chatter online?
I think people positive. People.
Because, you know, I'll dig until I find person who didn't like it.
You'll be like, there it is.
And absolutely, that's the one.
Because you'll be like, I knew it was terrible. Like, these idiots all thought it was good, but they're all stupid.
Yeah.
I found the one person who's ripping me, or who maybe isn't even ripping you. They're just saying something.
Yeah. I just assume, I'm like, well, I'll just read my own ad mentions, and I'm like, well, I should check out the hashtags.
Yeah.
And then, well, I should probably check out what people are saying at Sharpling.
Yeah. Just see.
Okay, do a combination of at Sharpling and hashtag, and then I'll do every combination until I find, root out the truth teller.
Well, I will tell you, I think you're great.
Likewise.
I had so much fun, and we're going to keep doing this, and don't look for any bad reviews.
Nobody should look for bad reviews.
Nobody should do that.
I won't. It's only in my... I want to say weakest moments, but it's a habit. Yeah. No, it's not a habit. it's only when I'm too overwhelmed with the positivity, I try to balance it out by finding the people who hate me.
Just love it.
Find the time.
I do find. Yeah. You're awesome.
You're awesome.
Well, it's like a log rolling competition up in here. I want to thank Dave Windorf for checking in from Monster Magnet.
That was a real treat for me.
Yeah.
Thank you for
Of course.
making that happen. I'm such a huge fan of his.
Well, he was a fan of yours. I wrote to him, and he was just like, oh, my God, I love Dave Hill. Oh. I would love to do it. So I'll put you in touch with him, and you two will be buddies. Man. And next thing, I'll be outside looking in at the two guys who can play guitar.
We'll just be like, yeah, playing. They'll get a fourth guitar player in Monster Magnet. That'd I'll have awesome. You to thank.
Yeah. And you'll be like, I'll put you on the list.
I'll put you on tape. It's a little tight.
Paid reserve. Put you on paid reserve.
Text me right when you get here. And I'll see.
I'll pop the back door of the club open. I want to thank Nathan Fielder for checking in. Nathan, for you this Thursday, the season finale, and every Monday night, 9 p.m. to midnight, the goddamn Dave Hill Show on WFMU. You can listen to it. It's great.
Thank you. Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Do you think I should get rid of the profanity in the title?
I don't know. Well, how do you feel about it? Do you feel...
My original thinking was you know, it's not like I spent hours thinking of the name, mm-hmm. obviously. Mm-hmm. But then I thought, going back to the thing, someone's going to hate the idea. Uh-huh. And I thought, well, what would a crotchety old man, like my dad mm-hmm. wouldn't say that, but, you know, call. And I thought, goddamn Dave Hill Show. Mm-hmm. And then I found out that my dad doesn't like the title because mm-hmm. it has a swear in it. Mm-hmm. And then I was on Mary Lou Henner's radio show. Mm-hmm. And she told me she didn't like it. And I was like, well, the lady from Taxi doesn't like it.
Yeah.
And two people I really respect are telling me not to do it. Mm-hmm. And so it's starting to wear on me a little bit between those two.
Why don't you just call it, you could always just, if you do abbreviations now, it's like GDDH, right?
Yeah.
But it's just like the thing can be just like the T is small and the S is small.
Yeah.
G, D, D, H.
Yeah. Yes. And then it'll just be like KFC.
Yeah.
Stop being Kentucky Fried Chicken.
I think you could stick with it, or I think you could abbreviate. You don't need it.
Yeah, that's what my dad and Mary Lou Henner said.
Well, that's what I would say is you're...
better than that. She said you're better than that.
Oh, you are better than
that. And I said... I'm not actually, mm-hmm. and
but
she.
You are. But
thank
you.
Are.
But she would remember if you.
Yeah,
she's got that memory, crazy memory.
Though I've tested her on it, but then I've been on her show twice, and mm-hmm. then I forgot to test her, asking her about the first time I was on.
Yeah.
So we don't know if it's real.
Well, I think you don't. You don't need it. You don't need a crutch.
Okay.
You
maybe I'll phase it out.
You could phase it out.
Maybe on the next show I'll just say, this is the Dave Hill Show. See if anyone notices.
It got the thing rolling.
Yeah, the swear word got people mm-hmm. talking.
Yeah, exactly. But now
I'm John Mellencamp.
Exactly. Maybe now you become John Cougar Mellencamp, and then you're John Mellencamp, and then it...
Sales flag. They dip a little, and then I throw the cougar back in.
Yes. Then the cougar somehow shows back up. Wow, look at that. It's back. It's like
he uses the cougar.
Does
the cougar's back, I thought.
Is it?
To my mind, it's John. Yeah. I mean, we need to run a check on it, but.
It's like when Blue Oyster Cult would play a soft white underbelly. Remember that? They'd be like, we're playing a secret show at... They would play like Lemours in New York. They'd be like, we're usually playing out on Long Island. What was it? The Nassau Coliseum. Like that's where Blue Oyster Cult would play.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, when we want to
get back to our roots,
we do a show. We call ourselves Soft White Underbelly. But then there was a day where they're just like, I think we're playing this place's Blue Oyster Cult now. It's just that day where it's like...
Luxury problem still, I'd say. If you get to walk out and play Don't Fear the Reaper.
Exactly.
Forget it.
Dave, thank you so much for coming by.
Thank you.
Everybody, this Sunday is... it all goes down, man. Sunday night, Philadelphia, December 13th, Union Transfer, Sharpling and Worcester Live. Tickets at stereolaughs.com/tour. It's going to be super fun. We're making this show extra special, so do not miss it. If you're on the bubble, don't. Get off the bubble and go to the show. Get your tickets. It's going to be great. I cannot wait for Sunday. Everybody, thanks for listening. I'm going to play on the way out. I'm going to play something by Unrest. Mark Robinson was one of our guests in the show we did in Boston. So here is something from Unrest. From their Imperial album, we're going to hear the song. Wait, no, I want to hear, yeah, let's hear Suki from that album. Everybody, see you in Philly. Be back next week. Bye.